Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 235. And I have a rant for today, so everybody's excited.
We are.
I didn't read much. I had the week of hell, so hopefully it can't get much worse, so things will be going better.
Oh, really?
I know.
That sounds like a challenge.
Rookie move.
But it's been like
Podcast
every day something.
Bursts in the flames, right?
And it's not store stuff. It's not work stuff. It's all grown-up stuff. I see him doing that.
Sucks.
Being a grown-up sucks, yeah. So we lost a
fridge.
We lost a stove, a fridge, pay to repair a drain, problems with each car. It's like, enough's enough. I can't take no more. So I didn't get a ton read because I'll be completely honest with you. With the Olympics on, I kind of sat on the sofa and just stared straight ahead. And
beach volleyball?
Yeah, beach volleyball, swimming. You know.
I made a comment to Debbie Nadell last week. I was like, it's kind of weird that the beach volleyball players wear less clothes than
yes.
the swimmers.
Yes. Yeah. It was funny. I was watching. It was one of the long running distance ones. And looking at the girls, and they had, from all their training, tan lines. And you could tell they wore, normal shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they had these little shorts on. And I'm like, why are you wearing, aerodynamic on the 10,000-meter race? I don't think that really comes into it. So it's just, it looked funny. But, yeah, the beach volleyball, it was just kind of like, really? Is there a reason you're wearing nothing?
It's like the guy that wears that is like, we will maintain there where the least amount of clothes possible.
Yeah.
It'll stay in the sand.
Yeah. It'll get a lot of viewers. But yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Grunting?
Yes. But yeah, so it basically just a lot of staring at the TV, for which I do apologize. But
it's okay.
It was just a yucky week. So I read a couple. But
that's not your rant.
No, that's not my rant. We'll get to that later. That's part of the news. That'll be after the news. A rant.
You can see their tan line, so I just can't believe.
What is the deal with tan lines?
What is the deal with these tan lines?
Oh, man. And in honor of John McLaughlin, I feel like doing the McLaughlin group here tonight. Okay. Dave, what do you got? And I get, all I can hear, Jim Carrey, or not Jim Carrey, Dana Carvey doing it, not him doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Yeah. Wrong!
The correct answer is Special K with banana.
I used to watch that. Man, especially when I was working on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I definitely was a little more in tune to the political
stuff.
Ooh. Yeah, I was there for... Yes.
He didn't say what he was doing.
No.
He was sweeping the janitor.
No,
especially when I was the president.
No, I was working in a congressional
I paid
office.
A lot of attention to current affairs.
No, this was... See? No, I was right out of college. First job out of college. But...
I thought you were a stripper.
What? With this body? You know it. My best years are behind me.
Because you've never seen a stripper that went downhill after she retired.
Obviously, he's never been to
a
stripper.
I haven't really followed up
o'clock.
On him. So
2 o'clock on a Tuesday, not the A-team.
Gotcha. No, I never did that.
It's what the buffet's for.
Which, if you're eating the buffet at a strip club, you've already lost life.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay, continue on with your stripper buffets, please.
No, say, guys.
We have a title.
Buffet?
The buffet.
That's a pretty solid title.
That is, yeah.
Although I did like the Dark Side's Clips and Curls. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Man, title already. We're not even...
That's pretty good, yeah. That's
might
rare.
Be a record.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how we got there. Well, Josh, you brought up the stripper thing. So what's up? What's up, man?
I just said I thought you were a stripper after college.
Oh, okay. That's how I paid my way through college. After college. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Law school, that was usually how it was done.
No, law school is
capital
way
cracks.
After the fact. Yeah.
No, that's usually how you pay your way through law school.
Oh, gotcha. Fair enough.
He took a private sector for that.
Mm. That's true. That's
high
true.
Class.
One step above pizza delivery guy. One step above strip.
I got a large sausage.
You know, it was funny because we were really crowded when the scene came on. It was the Star Trek episode. I had Star Trek playing in the store today, the original series. And the one came on where it was Kirk hiding and grabs the stalactite to hit the guy with. And where I had paused it, I was watching it on the computer. And I had paused it just like somebody came in or the phone rang. And I wasn't paying attention. And I paused it. And when I went back to the screen, it was literally Kirk holding a giant pink stalactite. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I texted Adam, I said, how do I capture a screenshot? I need to save this picture. And I posted it on Twitter. Well, no, it was on the computer, so I didn't know. On the phone, I knew what to do.
No,
but
what I'm saying is, when you don't know how, you just take a picture with your phone.
Yeah. But it was just so fun. And then it came on, so I rewound it, and everybody thought it was hilarious. Because it was. You're just looking, and you're just like, are you serious? So I mean, it's even mold, you know.
Where did you post it at?
Oh, it was on Twitter, but it was years ago.
Oh.
I'll find the picture for you. During, Pat, you got any news?
I do. A couple things. I guess I'll start off with the really bad news. Uh-oh. Kenny Baker died.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Don't say anything.
He was 82, but that doesn't mean anything.
That's correct.
That's R2-D2.
That's correct.
Have some respect.
Absolutely.
Did it mean
no, but
the others
though? No, but to be fair, was it Christopher Lee? That's the one you guys get on me. Yeah. He had such an amazing life, and he was in it so old. It was like, man, what a great life! And that's the only reason I wasn't sad.
Just keep digging.
Okay, move along.
He did better.
Kenny Baker, he had a pretty crappy.
No, but
he lived in a can for how many years?
The Oscar the Grouch of Star Wars.
He didn't even get any lines. He just got beep, boop, boop.
Well, I don't think he did that.
No one could understand it.
You take your can and go in that swamp.
Yeah. It just fills up with water. You got to snorkel.
Hard job.
He was in Willow and I think Labyrinth too, wasn't he?
Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. I love Time Bandits.
Yep.
So
yeah, that was a good move.
Further bad news.
Oh, come on. You're bad news.
Yeah, oh,
are you 10 today?
The second run of Prez got canceled.
Yeah.
All they're going to be doing is a 12-page
Yeah, not even like a full
expansion.
Issue, just a 12-pager.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Now, but I'm wondering, though, is that going to be a backup feature in a book, or is that going to be a book on its own?
I honestly don't know.
Because a 12-page book is kind of... Eh.
Can I just say, if they're willing to do it, like, I would buy it just straight out as, like, a trade. Like, if they did it, I would buy it. Or some sort of...
Unfortunately, there aren't many people like you, though. Because...
I don't know if that's unfortunate, but...
It's totally unfortunate. Just don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess to continue on our cavalcade of crap, Civil War 2 has been delayed and extended.
Yeah, more on this later.
But, yeah, so, you know, I love when you get issue 8 of 7. So.
Yeah. We'll get back to this.
It was reported on CBR, and I didn't see it on your invoice, and that may be because they haven't officially announced it yet, but that Wacky Raceland is now going to be a 6-issue mini.
Oh, really? Okay. Not ongoing? Okay. Yeah. Maybe sales dropped?
Well, no, but that actually makes sense. I mean,
I'm surprised
the first two issues went, I think it'd work best as a mini, not as an ongoing. Further cancels.
That is not any stalactite I've ever seen.
Right, but you see why when I stopped it, I'm like, okay, I need a picture of this.
That's... Like, it looks like it's even shaped perfectly, like a giant pink foam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just, like I said, I paused it, went back to what I was doing, came back to the screen and looked at it and went, what am I, it was this Star Trek XXX, you know.
Makes you think the prop people were having some fun.
Everything, like.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I agree. That's what I'm saying. I couldn't have timed the pause any better.
Wow.
Even Jill Thompson, she's like, what was this? And I said, episode this,
Nice.
Yes.
But Hitch's JLA issues 11 and 12 were canceled yet again. And that was in your...
Yeah.
Aaron Voice.
Yeah. Where first it was they were canceled, then it was reinstated, and now it's canceled again.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get the end of that story at all.
Well, what I read was we're going to get 9, we're going to get 10, and we're going to get an annual.
Is it going to conclude? Like,
the annual is supposed to conclude okay. whatever his story
As long
was.
As it concludes, I'd rather get an ending to the story than nothing.
I think it makes it worse. At this point, I don't even remember what the story was.
That's true.
They finished off with the Rao stuff, and I don't remember what this new...
My whole thing is, why did they give him Justice League to do?
Yeah.
Because I think someone else fell through, and they scrambled.
Yeah, I think you could be right on that one.
But despite the quality of the book, it was the multiple issues of it were at the top of the bestseller list last month, so...
Yeah. Who knows?
Some Supergirl news came out.
Supergirl news?
Supergirl.
Whoa.
That's super.
Miss Martian is going to show up at some point.
She was about Teen Titans or something like that? Yeah.
Was it Young Justice? Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we heard something about that, Adele quickly got excited because she likes Miss Martian.
She was in the Teen Titans, too. Jeff Johns' run, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, she's on the Young Justice cartoon.
And
will Martian Manhunter then hunt her? Or, okay, just wondering.
Well, no, because he mentors her.
She was his
right?
niece.
Oh, okay.
How is she his niece?
Well,
when he was the last survivor.
She's a green.
She's a white. And when the show, she's a white and he's a green.
Right.
But
she hides as a green, even though she's really white.
Yeah, I think the whole niece thing is just him like saying she's his niece and she played along with it. I think maybe he knew the real history behind her. We're not all the way through the second season yet, so
okay.
I don't know for sure.
Gotcha. And we know who was in the pod at the end. It's Mon-El.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Very cool.
So that's
I'm looking forward to Legion coming back, and I really hope it's Hickman. I really do.
Oh, and the pod at the end is Supergirl.
Yeah, okay. at the end of the first
so
season.
So, like, what pod are you talking about?
Oh.
Okay, no.
Well, that's what I said. Dude, I got a couple things for Supergirl.
No, yeah, I sidetracked myself.
Yeah. And then I read today that Hulu and Marvel are teaming up for a Runaways show.
Saw that.
That seems kind of strange because they're killing it with Netflix, and I'm surprised. Yeah. Unless it's they want to get more content out. And
Netflix
yep.
said that they
Netflix
want to do more.
Said, right, Netflix only has so much money.
Well, it's not that. Netflix just wants to focus on the like the Defenders stuff right now. And because they even said that the reason why they didn't try to swoop in and pick up Carter is because they just want to focus on that franchise.
Yeah.
And once that's done, then they might look at other areas of Marvel. But right now, they just want to focus on that.
And then the rumor was that there was some glitch. They kind of said that in 2017 is when the Punisher will premiere. But they've already announced that Iron Fist will be in 2017 and that Defenders will be in 2017. So that means they'd have to up the 3 shows a year, which they've already announced the second.
Point.
Yeah, they've announced the second season of Jessica Jones, a third season of Daredevil.
Which we weren't expecting a third season of Daredevil, I don't think.
No, that was something that just kind of came out of nowhere. But I think you need to because.
No, I agree. It seems surprising to me that they weren't going to do it.
Yeah. Well, they're only doing 2 shows a year and you know, you're doing a second season of Jessica Jones, you still got to see how Luke Cage plays out, Iron Fist plays out.
Yeah.
You could have a lot of shows. Now you got the Punisher. They've rumored other things, possibly. Moon Knight was one of them. Ghost Rider was one, but I think with him showing up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's not going to show up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Unless it's, you know, either the Danny Ketch or the Johnny Blaze version. Blade was another one. We never got anything about that female Blade book, did we?
No, it got canceled, and then nothing since.
Like
that was last year at San Diego. Yeah.
If they didn't have Wesley Snipes, that wouldn't have worked anyway.
As a female, what?
He did do that Tu Wong Fu movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. He could do that.
Kurt Russell, too.
Yeah. Well, he also did in Tango and Cash. He did drag for Tango and Cash, so, yeah.
They'll be reunited for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, although they haven't said what Sylvester Stallone's playing yet. We know Kurt Russell is Ego, the Living Planet.
Although they haven't called him that. They've just called him Ego. I know, but I'm just saying. And then they showed his costume. I'm like, it's a planet. How does a planet have a costume?
Mogo has a costume.
Right, but it's not. It was a jacket and, you know, leather jacket and pants and stuff. So
planets get called.
That's what I'm saying. It might not be Ego, the Living Planet. It might just be Ego.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they're thinking Eros. I don't know.
Weird.
Weird. It's so weird.
I don't know. That's all I got, Colin.
That's all you got?
Well, you know, I know you got a rant coming, and, you know, I'm going to sit back, pop some popcorn, and wait for this one.
Well, not like I'm foaming at the mouth or anything. just,
not like it's not,
I was going to do the same.
What? Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Ew.
But no, it was funny that a number of customers forwarded me the link when it I don't want to say broke, but when Bendis announced that Civil War is going to be delayed because David Marquez had a baby.
Well, not him.
Well, right. David Marquez's wife had a baby. And
because I think if he had a baby, I would let him take a break.
Yes. Yes. But not a tumor. That was part of my problem was it's like, why is this getting delayed because you have a baby? Only in the sense, that's great. You had a baby. Congratulations. But it's not. It's not like you fell and broke your arm, or something more serious happened. You had a baby. You knew you were having a baby. You knew generally when the baby was coming. You know, these were all very planable things, and also Marvel could have planned around it.
You're expecting too much out of Marvel.
And well, no, but I'm saying, if they had a baby in July, presumably they knew about it before May when the book launched. So maybe space them out a little
assuming
more.
Assuming that his wife went full term.
True, true. But I'm just saying it's not a completely unexpected event. So, yeah, just a little troubling with Marvel on that. So it's already going to be delayed. I believe the next issue is going to be delayed a month, which is just troubling. Why did you put out two issues in July when you could have held number four, come out with that in August? You know, you could have spaced things out better instead of now we're going to have a very big gap between four and five.
People wanted to know what happened after the death.
Okay. Yeah, because they're buying The Accused to find out what happened at the trial. It's flying off the shelf.
Oh,
actually, because it's falling off. Yeah, I think I sold like eight. Yeah, for a fun $5 book. Hurrah. And I'm not sure how well...
I was enraptured by it.
There you go. It had the awesome Hawkeye, the pictures of Hawkeye holding a bow and arrow.
Like
totally wrong.
What were you enraptured by?
The Accused.
The Accused.
I thought you were saying Civil War in general.
Not the Jodie Foster movie.
Oh, okay. And then The Fallen came out today.
Yeah.
I didn't ring up a ton of people with Tim here, but I didn't see too many Fallens flying
Slacker.
Out there. Well, no, it's great. He does the polls, does that. There's a lot of schmoozing going on Wednesday. Just talking with people. But it's good that I can, instead of just being stuck there, ring. There's some schmoozing going on.
There's a lot of snoozing.
No.
Schmoozed with Matt Lytle for a while earlier.
A little bit.
He's a captured audience.
But it was nice, though, talking to him. But there was a mom sitting here, and she jumped in the conversation and stuff. It was good. It was all good. But so now we're going to be late, and we won't have an issue until sometime in September. Well, the problem is, what's happening in October? That's all new Marvel now, where they're relaunching their whole line, spinning out of the shocking ending of Civil War is all these new titles and the whole, you know, what are they saying? What's their tagline with Marvel Now? It's not disassembled,
we're
but
doing
it's one of those things. But now, and so not only is the next issue going to be late, oh, wait, Bendis realized he wanted to change the ending, so he now needs another issue to rewrite the ending. And
well,
so
I think spinning out of the ending of the other one.
Uh-huh.
How does that work?
Right.
We're going to call
but,
it
so,
hold on, wait a second.
Yeah, but so now they're adding an issue. So not only is number 5 not coming out till September and all the things starting in October, so now between number 5, 6, 7, 8, so we got to get these 3 more issues out after the middle of September. Yep, it's like, you know, had you not just done this with Secret War,
yeah,
where you it was supposed to end in October and it got delayed till January and they added an issue, it's like,
exactly.
Adam!
That was not me at all. That was your it's on right now.
When, well, what is the breaking news?
Colin!
A tornado occurred in Denora.
Oh my god, that's not that far away.
We better all go home.
No. We're gonna do this.
Are we safe? It's a comic book store, man.
We can go to the basement.
There's groundhogs down there.
Not anymore.
Poo.
Adam ate them all. I don't think, well, there was poo until Adam cleaned it up. He did a good job.
Was it his poo?
No, it was groundhog poo.
That's a legitimate question.
I'll give
if
you that.
If it was his groundhog, it would be his poo by
that's
association.
True. That's okay.
True, yeah.
And you did let the groundhog into the basement.
I didn't let him. It was that kid that doesn't show up anymore, so I can blame him.
I think Sandy let the groundhog in.
Sandy was not here.
She left the door open.
No.
I showed her the basement. She left the door open.
Yes,
she
did.
I said, shut the door, you're done.
I will never forgive you for showing her the basement either.
And I will forever enjoy that I got you.
Gotcha.
But so now, I mean, now it's another one of those cart before the horse. Oh, we're relaunching. But it won't spoil too much of the story. It's like, and like I said, if you hadn't just done this on your last event, it's like, don't
that's
you learn to
8 months later?
Put a little. Yeah, so we're going to do that. Okay, now this one's 18 months later. So
the booking catches up.
Yeah, it's just they're losing credibility. They're losing faith.
How does that affect, though? They had events planned. So it almost, like, in November, I thought.
I don't know when the next event is going to be.
I thought it was going to be in November. I'm like, well,
okay,
wait a second. If you're extending it and delaying it,
right,
you're going to be into your next event before your current event is even over.
I honestly don't know. I don't have an answer. And the other problem I have with this is, at least, well, with Secret Wars, it was a case of your entire line was restarting. But in this one, there's almost every book is tying in with it. So what if there's a book that can't come out until issue 7 comes out? Let's say Spider-Man's tying in. So now Spider-Man's going to be delayed, because that's what happened during the original Civil War run. I remember specifically, there were only 10 issues of Spider-Man that year because Civil War was so delayed and Spider-Man was so intrinsically tied in with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that, I remember thinking, how do you explain to your shareholders that, oh, yes, well, yes, we normally sell 200,000 copies of Spider-Man, but we decided not to sell 400,000 copies this year at $3 a piece. So we intentionally did not make this money because this was late. You know, there is some responsibility there. So
I would love to be in that board meeting and the mouse would be like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Please, somebody explain this to me.
So, you know, are some of these going to get delayed? Or are they just going to let them go forward and then spoil plot points in Civil War, which makes the point of adding a whole another issue moot? Because the
biggest ass in here, huh?
So it's just why is anybody in charge?
No,
the mouse.
Yeah, he just told you he was in charge.
But yeah, it just and I'm talking to other retailers, trying to
fix
little things like Champions, you know, that they're pushing so hard that we have in order. They want us to have a party, but to have a party, you have to order 200% of all new Avengers 9, and they have a 1 in 1,000 variant, and it's just like for a book that I don't see any interest in, and then on top of that, you're compounding the problem by having it launched. So here's this team of disaffected Avengers that didn't like Civil War, but, well, you don't know exactly what the problem was because, you know, it's just
all new, all different, pissed off Avengers.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, nobody wants to come to a Champions party, so it'll be okay.
Right, no, there won't be a Champions party.
Have a Champions
sorry, party. If it's...
I mean, some people will say they're coming to the Civil War party, but then not actually show up.
So... But
some people will say they don't want to come to it and then show.
Based on the turnout of the Civil War party, I don't see a need for a Champions party.
It was so fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, we did. There sitting was, around going, hey.
There was a
catch hey.
There was, like, they gave away something. No.
What are you talking about right now?
I don't think it was at any of the party.
Words just keep coming out of his mouth.
I think he fell and hit his head. That's why he always wears the hat. Trying to hide the bump, like Giuliani's bump. So that's all. That, I mean, yeah, I don't have much more to go into it, but just going
bumps.
What? But yeah, just come on, guys. You're just, you know, you're losing the retailer faith, where you're asking us to order big on these books, and then you do something like this, and then even worse, you're lacking losing the customer faith. And I hear it more and more. Well, people coming in saying, "Yep, less and less Marvel in my stack."
I saw a sales chart from last month, and it only had two Marvel books.
Yeah, and it was both Civil War.
And both Civil War, yeah.
So what's going to happen in August when they didn't even have a Civil War, and Darth Vader's getting pushed to the next month?
Don't you think they have to look at that and say, my God, something is wrong?
Maybe, or they're looking at, oh, DC's doing their big stunt. It doesn't count because it's returnable. I don't know, but it's it felt good for me.
Covers.
Well, and again, they didn't have a new number one that they could put in a loot crate and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe they put Civil War 3 in one, but
I'm surprised that they don't do that. Just come out with a new book every month, just so they always have a number one.
They pretty much.
Instead of doing, okay, we're going to launch all new Marvel now, put out 50 number ones all at the same time.
Well, they're not. It is because they're a lot of those books that were in that little preview book aren't in the new previews yet.
Okay.
So they are going to space it out. But yeah, I don't know how much Solo is going to be able to take that top spot. But yeah, I did enjoy seeing that, only in the sense that I don't feel the numbers. My problem with the sales chart is people use it to compare one company to the other, but especially with Marvel, there's a lot of false numbers. There's a lot where they do the deep discounts where people can order 200 for the same price as 100. There's the exclusive covers where you have to order 3,000 copies. Well, enough stores do that. That's going to change your numbers a good bit. And you have the loot crates, which, according to Bleeding Cool, is like over 100,000 units if you're in a loot crate.
I heard someone say recently that those numbers aren't being factored in anymore.
Somebody said that, but I don't believe them, only because when you look at the numbers and you look at what was in the loot crate or the Marvel Collector crate, and then you look like...
But if they were, though, they wouldn't 4001 AD be high on that list because it was part of loot crate last month?
Then it should be, yeah. But maybe
I don't think it was.
I think it was higher than it normally would be, though.
I'll have to look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be an extra 100,000 copies. I think that would be noticeable. Because I like Valiant. I enjoy their
unless
books,
they stopped
but
it, but I just remember seeing when Black Panther, which I saw was in the loot crate, and all of a sudden it was the number one book, but by a really, like, outsold. It was like the number three book outselling Civil War and everything. It's like, I understand Black Panther being popular and people ordering it, but that seemed to be a really, really big number. And then the drop on it was even more than normal.
Mm.
Where the normal drop, if it was 100,000 less, would have been right. So that's what I took it. But maybe they're not. I hope they're not, because you can't compare apples to apples when you're throwing
it's
in.
It's a board game.
Right.
Well, not a board game.
It's a card game. There's different types of apples, yeah.
Yeah, it's Granny Smith and it's a BG, and
you compare them, and they have two different tastes.
I like the McIntyre ones.
McIntyre? Macintosh?
No, there's a...
McIntyre apple?
Yeah, it's one of those pinkish ones.
Mm. Mm. Like a Honeycrisp.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Honeycrisp.
Those are good.
So we can compare apples.
Right, but you can't compare apples and oranges.
Well done.
So that's all. That's all my rant.
You earned that one.
Thank you.
One attaboy. Congratulations, though.
Just one?
Yeah.
Just be careful, because one last shit takes away 10 attaboys.
I'm not giving you any material.
But that's all I got. Just come on, guys.
Like get with the program.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
So, and as we were talking about the cancellation of Justice League of America, you know, that, okay, it's not affecting their entire line. You know.
It's actually needed to be filtered out anyways, because it's not part of anything anymore. Well, it kind of is, because they're using it in the story, this one
the
a little
Rouse
bit.
Stuff.
They've mentioned it, but I don't,
nothing's going to affect the story,
no.
Though.
No. Yeah, because that's old Superman now.
We're just
dead Superman.
He did okay.
Dead Superman.
it's kind of sad, though. You
got all morbid. I know. Anybody else have anything else?
Anything more morbid?
No, I think we... We handled Marvel.
Fair enough, yes. And DC, you suck too, and Image. Oh, they announced today Invincible's ending at 144.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow. Never one that did well for me. It does okay in trades, but issue-wise, it's like six. You know, there's just... Huh. Nobody ever really jumped on it. It was the guys that have been getting it for years, but...
I've read most of it. I think I'm a trade behind.
Are you? Okay. I only ever read the first trade, and I'm like, eh. And then people are like, oh, well, it's after the first trade. I'm like, I'm sorry if you...
I agree. The first trade is not great.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
I have a friend who is a big Invincible fan, and he forced it all upon me. Like, he just dumped all these, you know, the big hardcovers, the 12 hardcovers on me. And I read the first one. I was like, if you were not giving this to me to read, I would not continue reading it.
You could have turned off the sound.
Yeah, that first trade, it just felt very generic.
Give see what he needs. I got to see what my boy needs. Oh, he's got the first pick. Okay, okay, here we go. Here we go. Julio Jones or Antonio Brown for the first pick?
I don't care.
Julio Jones or Antonio Brown for the first
pick? I gave him Antonio Brown since he's a Steeler. It's a good pick. Okay. It's his first ever fantasy football draft.
What does he think about Invincible getting canceled?
He doesn't care.
See, the league I did, I accidentally had it set up as auto draft, and it picked Tom Brady. And I'm like, oh, that's great. So my quarterback's not playing for the first four games anyway. Four L's.
I'm just going to check mine.
Dave, did you see Suicide Squad? League?
I did not.
We draft something.
What the hell? Josh, did you finally see Suicide Squad?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, you did? All right, we can talk about Suicide Squad.
We can.
Oh, no.
In depth. So what do you think, Josh? Or did we spoil it for you?
You didn't spoil it for me.
Okay, I tried not to.
The movie spoiled it for me.
That's why I didn't see it.
It was not a 27% of Rotten Tomatoes.
No, and I didn't say that
it
either.
It was more like a 47% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep, I'll give you that. It was eh.
Yeah, it wasn't...
It was the definition of meh.
By no means was this a good movie.
No.
It was not an awful movie.
It had its moments.
The cast were good in their roles.
Yeah.
The plot was absolute garbage.
Thank you.
I thought it was kind of generic of a plot. Like
it was generic.
Beyond that, it didn't connect.
It was generic as hell. It didn't connect. I hated the start of the movie where it's just like, we're going to just shove a bunch of flashbacks at you right now out of nowhere. Like, we haven't even gotten the movie off the ground yet. We're just going to give you all these flashbacks real quick.
Yeah.
I didn't love that. And if you're doing a Suicide Squad movie... Do not make it this huge, like, earth-shattering threat where this entire city is being brought to ruins.
Exactly. Not the city, the world. It was cutting satellites down. It was cutting,
It looked like it was just
big ships. What are they called?
The Zool thing.
Aircraft carriers. Yeah, it was Zool.
At the very end, things are being cut down, but for most of the movie, it was just that city was being impacted. Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about with the movie was that, like, she set this up. This group, Amanda Waller sets this group up because there is no Superman anymore. That was one thing she said, because Superman perished.
Well, she said the world changed after he died.
So they needed something in its place that they could use.
I don't think it was even something in its place. Superman,
I think it was,
But these aren't superpowered people.
You know, that was the thing. Like,
Enchantress was, but she was the only
but
one.
But to take on...
El Diablo.
Okay.
But to take on a threat that was, like, threatening the entire Earth... I think was a little much for that.
Well, but here's the thing. It made absolutely no sense. So there was the threat, Incubus, which wasn't really a threat, but okay. So you got Incubus there. You had the Suicide Squad, and what do? You send two people. That was exactly the reason why you created the Suicide Squad. Why did you not send them all? And then, okay, in the midst of that mission, you have Enchantress.
To be fair with that, though, the Suicide Squad was just... like, put together when that happened. So I could see, like, we had this team. We didn't even really put them together. I just got approval. No training.
Well, they hadn't even been put... Well, that was...
No bomb in their neck yet. Like,
exactly. That's what I'm sitting there thinking.
When she decided to go, they got the bomb put in their neck. They got put together. There was no training. There was no...
No, because I feel like at that point, she had no choice. After her two-person team failed miserably and she hit the fan, then that was her only option. And I don't have a problem with this threat happens and Amanda Waller sends them in. That's fine, but we've established that Batman's around. We've established that Flash is around and fighting crime in this movie. we've established that Wonder Woman is around, and now she's with Batman trying to join the Justice League, so I could see, before BVS, I could see her not getting involved. But now that she's putting in the Justice League, there's no way she wouldn't be involved. So everyone is there, except for, you know, we'll say Superman, Aquaman, and Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't they showing up for this giant threat that's cutting down aircraft carriers and satellites? It does not make sense that you just have Harley Quinn with her baseball bat walking around, and these heroes that have been established already are nowhere to be found.
Well, that was the other thing. I'm wondering, you made it too big. What was the timeline there? Because we never really established a sense of time. Yeah. Did that all happen in one night? Or what? Because that's if it all happened in one night, then I would say, okay, that's what? Why Batman that it all didn't happened show up.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's shenanigans. Flash can run super freaking fast. No, Batman has a plane.
Yeah, but I mean, if it all happened...
And Wonder Woman has the Turkish Airlines.
That's true, yeah. Which I was upset, because I went on their website to try to get a flight to Gotham, and they don't offer it.
Like, if they had time to bomb up the Suicide Squad, get them their stuff, let Harley Quinn change her entire outfit in front of a bunch of soldiers, and then fly them in then Batman could have gotten in his plane, and Flash could have gotten there. Well, like, even if it wasn't a joined together...
Hold on, though. But what if Batman... Well, no, he can't be, because it wasn't until the end that he got the dossier about the other people.
Which is also stupid, because he already found out about the other people in BVS.
Well, he found out about the other people, but didn't have all the backgrounds. But that's... You know, if he was off, like, if that was supposed to be when he was trying to get Aquaman, then I'd say, okay, well, that makes sense. He's off doing that.
Yeah, but...
And doesn't, you know...
What's Barry Allen doing? Like, I feel like they never should have showed
Barry Allen stuff.
They never should have showed us Barry Allen...
I really enjoyed any time they've showed
capturing
Barry
Boomerang.
Allen.
I didn't mind Barry Allen for Barry Allen in this. Yeah. It just didn't make... Don't show him. Don't let me see that Barry Allen is wearing this armored suit fighting crime in this movie.
Yeah. I hate that suit, but
I don't mind
the
suit, but I was operating on the assumption that that suit was going to be like created by Batman or something.
No. The logo's wrong. So that's not his, that's not going to be his final suit. It's just a straight lightning bolt. There's no white... circle over it, so I'm assuming
the armored aspect is because Batman made him this suit. But, like, if you're showing him fighting crime, it doesn't make sense he's not there then.
I think one thing I haven't liked about them introducing these characters, like Flash and stuff like that, is that they never really, like, I think this is them rushing this to catch up. Where Marvel gave us an introduction into each character so far, then brought out Avengers.
But they can't.
I don't think the rush is hurting it. It's the fact there's too many hands in the pot here.
Oh, yeah.
You're not getting a cohesive story told by one person.
Well, but here's the other problem. Look at Guardians of the Galaxy. They didn't introduce any of those characters prior to their movie. They just dropped them in that movie, and it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't need a Gamora, you know, five-minute snippet. Yeah. Drax, throughout the movie, you got bits and pieces of their backstory.
Yeah. My biggest complaint with Suicide Squad was just the amount of characters that were in it, but the amount of characters that, like, didn't need to be in it. Like, Katana. Like,
yeah.
I did not like
Katana. It's not even like her.
I like Katana, but she didn't do it.
You could remove her from the movie, and the movie would operate the exact same way.
Well, honestly, same with Captain Boomerang.
Same with Boomerang, but less laughs.
Right, but one thing I heard, I listened to the new off-panel podcast, and one of the things they mentioned was that as it was being edited and they were seeing the dailies, the Warner Brothers brought in the guys who edited the trailer to make the final edit on the movie. Because the trailer got so well received.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. I think they were basically like video game guys who edited the movie. And that's why it was choppy and slow and didn't make sense. It's because you had people who, you know, weren't trying to make a coherent movie. They were trying to make something that was flashy and
fun.
I hate to cloud kind of their vision of what the movie should have been. But what they should have done was shown them the Batman Assault on Arkham and say, this is how you do a Suicide Squad movie. It establishes all the characters. You have the deaths.
Especially because Enchantress wasn't really established other than, she went to Iraq and got code books. And
And
that your entire defense against her turning on you because the bomb in the neck won't work is stabbing
a heart
with a pen.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. Oh, except you had her brother in a...
This is Beck.
Yeah, it just... there may have been a good movie in there other than Zool. Because the big bad didn't make sense
at all.
There was
a good movie. I mean, the fact that most of the cast fit their roles perfectly and did a great job shows that you could have made a good movie with this. Like, you didn't have joke people in the roles. Even people who I didn't think would work. Like, I didn't think Will Smith would work as Deadshot.
No, I really enjoyed that.
He was fantastic. Like, even Killer Croc, until the very end, he did nothing in that movie.
Nothing.
And they didn't explain, why was he in jail? Why, you know, oh, we let him live down there. Okay.
We made him a cell in the sewer, because he asked. And the only time in that movie that I laughed was whenever they actually showed him kick back on his cot watching BET on his big screen TV in his cell. The only time I actually laughed out loud in that movie.
Yeah.
It was so disjointed. The beginning was so, like, neon and flashy and wacky, like they're trying to be like Deadpool, and then it just changed drastically.
Yeah. They tried to give you, like, a little bit in the, like, I think about four characters, and they gave you an idea of why they were there or what happened.
But even there, that's a problem.
Except not Slipknot. Here's a guy getting out of the car. What? Where did he go? Oh, what does he do? He climbs stuff. Oh, so you just literally threw him into the movie because you realized...
Was he ever in jail? Like,
he showed up as they were getting suited up. Yeah.
Like, I never...
After they threw Captain Boomerang in a bag. Why was he in a bag?
We saw him in, like, that casino.
It was an Aussie post office bag.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
I thought we saw some dude, like, in the casino or whatever that looked just like Slipknot, but like, maybe it was a different person before the whole thing.
I just remember a panda. That's all I remember.
No.
What's that?
One in a panda suit.
Oh, yeah,
that guy was awesome.
Like, he was literally at it because they said, we need to blow up someone
to
show that we mean business.
But see, they did that. And again, in Assault on Arkham, they did that. They used KG Beast for that, but it was done differently. In his case, it wasn't...
Superman already killed KG Beast.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, you have to have one guy get blown up to know it's real. I'm okay with that. Fine, but don't make it so obvious that all he was missing was the red shirt. You should have set him up.
He didn't get his little card, his little vignette.
Make it look like he's actually, you know, somebody in there. Even like when they went and, you know, they talked to Diablo and they talked to Harley and they talked to Detch. Why did you talk to him? I mean, they even skipped Boomerang on that, but they at least had the little vignette at the beginning where he got captured by the Flash. So okay. It's established, you know, who this guy is.
I like all the people that were in the prison, like, that, all these characters that just chose to be there. Like you said, Killer Croc, he was just like, I'll just
He chose to be in that cell, not in the prison.
No, that's what I mean. But they have all this, like, freedom. They're just like, I'll stay here. And then the guy, El Diablo's in that pipe, and he was just like, I'm good where I am. I want to stay here forever. Or, you know, just all sorts of characters that just had kind of a...
And I think there's a better way to do the, you know, the reveal that he killed his family, and that's why. But it just seemed too much of, no, I don't want to do anything. No, I'm not doing anything. No, I'm not. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't even the brooding, tortured soul. It was weird. It wasn't handled well.
Had they showed that earlier in the film, I think that would have helped establish why he's that way.
It could have simply been, instead of showing us an actual, like, full, you know, screen back history, it could have been her at dinner saying, yeah, here's the video of him take out this whole prison thing, and he, you know, turned himself over because he killed his family.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. There was so much stuff that, like, they're announcing after, like, the director said, well, the reason Joker had the grill and the tattoos is because Batman knocked out his teeth. Yeah. And beat him so bad that he was broken. That's why he had damage tattooed on him.
Like,
and that's why he had the tattoo on his hand, because he could no longer smile because his teeth were knocked out.
Like, that's fine, you know that, and that's your
right,
plan.
But show me in the movie.
I don't know
exactly.
I just think he's a, you know, hipster doofus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think how not to make a movie. It's almost what this is. Yeah.
And I was not a fan of the Joker for two reasons. One, I didn't like the relationship with Harley, because it's so... opposite of what it should be. He should have been.
I didn't like that he, like, shocked her. Like, I didn't like the fact that once he actually, it looked like he was altering her, you know,
but
mentality.
She was into it.
Well, prior to the shocking, like, when she was like, I don't think she was into it at that point. I think she was saying that she could take it, but I don't think she was into it. Like, I didn't like the fact that it seemed like he was doing something that would alter her mental state, and that it wasn't her choosing to be with the Joker, that it was her, you know, essentially being affected by him.
Yeah, but they had already established prior to that scene that she was going to do anything for him anyway. So I kind of took that...
They...
They did because
they were establishing that she would. They were establishing that she would do anything for him. But then whenever he's standing above her, seeing that hurt her really, really bad, she doesn't look like she wants him to do that. Like she wants to be there. She looks like she is, you know, trying to show resistance. Like, go ahead, I can take it. You know, it doesn't look like she is following him at that point. And that's where I didn't like, where it seemed like she's resisting. He's doing this to her, impacting her mental ability. And now, after that, I'm thinking that, did she really, you know, completely fall for the Joker and change sides? Or is she has been affected and has become a villain because of what he did?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I feel like her fall to being a villain should have been her own journey, not something he did to her. And I feel like they were on track to make it that way, but then that one little scene kind of threw it off for me.
And that may have been something in editing that kind of changed. Yeah. But even, like, throughout, the relationship didn't work for me. The Joker should be a colossal douche to her at every turn. Because, the established where we got that relationship from, Batman the Animated Series, that's how he owns her. She'll do anything for him, but he treats her like crap throughout.
But I do think they played it up to make her look more like property of his in this. I don't feel like he ever actually loved her in this. I just feel like he didn't want someone else to disrespect his property. He didn't want someone else to deny him of what was his.
I think that was shown in the scene where
he killed the car, went in the water, and he abandoned her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when somebody actually took her, he was just like, "No, that's mine."
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best example of that.
I think they did that relationship wrong.
Oh, I kind of, and yeah. It wasn't the exact... I mean, I don't think it, like, hurt it so much, but it wasn't the relationship that I know from the character. It hurt it for me, because that's not what I expect out of that character.
Well, but here's the thing. If you want to establish her as an anti-hero, mm-hmm. essentially, you know, the way that has to work is she has to turn against the Joker.
But she has to have a reason.
Right, but that never happened. Even, like when he pushed her out of the helicopter, which... apparently was a very different scene the way it was originally edited. They got into an argument, he pushes her out of the helicopter. Instead, the way it played out in the movie was almost, he was saving her.
Yeah.
You know, the helicopter's going to crash, he saved her, she's sad because he died, but that would not give her a reason to turn good. That would just give her, if anything, a reason to continue his legacy. Where if he abused her in some way and she said, I've had enough, I'm not a broken woman anymore, I'm rebelling against that, that establishes her more as a sympathetic character and more as an anti-hero.
Yeah, but I'll say this, it's her first appearance on screen. I don't know, they necessarily have to have her turn.
That's what made it, then why try to tell the story? Because you can't do the story justice in the 8 scenes or 5 scenes, whatever they have together.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if they were actually trying to tell that story of her, you know, eventually rebelling against him. I think they're just trying to show a messed up relationship. I think they were using her as a way to get Joker into the movie.
They could do it later on.
Haphazardly, albeit, but... Hmm.
But even, like, you know, and I like Jared Leto as an actor. He's been in some really good things, but I didn't like Joker.
I didn't
want it to be Heath Ledger's Joker. I didn't want it to be Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Here's the problem with that, though, and I think we've just seen so many Jokers over the years that I'm just like, how can you make a different one or a better one?
You need
now?
To just
like,
go back to Cesar
to
Romero.
And yeah,
be fine.
Might as well.
Like, there were parts of him that I liked. Like, I definitely...
Yeah, I agree.
I definitely bought into the whole, like, this guy is completely batshit, you know, off his rocker.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, I liked his mannerisms, I liked, you know...
I think two parts of that, like, when he, especially, like, when he's interrogating a person, like, when he was with the guy at the, was that a casino?
Griggs,
that one?
At the casino,
when he was at that, and you were like, oh, man, he's gonna kill this guy. Like, you're sitting there, and you're just like, that's how it's gonna work. I like the tattoo. I thought it was a different kind of thing where he puts it over their face and gives them a smile, you know? And then the scene where he's interrogating the prison warden or whatever he was. I thought those were good scenes with him in it, but I don't know. I mean, with the Joker, I mean, he's the Joker. I couldn't really be like, there was something special about this one. It was just, he worked for the Joker, and
But that, you know,
I don't think anything really separated him so much.
And this may be a situation where, and I know they said there were a bunch of scenes he was in that got cut out. We know who the
he has been very vocal about that.
I mean, we know who the Joker is.
Today, I read something he said that
he said he was tricked.
He was tricked. Into this movie.
Yeah. So, did he give the money back? Exactly. But he, and you know, look, he deserves whatever money he got. He did what he contractually obligated to do, whatever. But you didn't establish enough about him either. Like, was he a gangster? Was, you know, like Heath Ledger was pretty clear he was an anarchist. Jack Nicholson's Joker was pretty clear. He was a hitman, if you will, that got screwed over by his boss and went over the deep end. But you never really got what the deal was with this guy. Why?
Did he really even belong in the movie in the first place?
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah.
Although he would have made a better threat than the Enchantress.
The thing about
he would have, and that would have been more interesting to have him go against him and then see that dynamic where she has to go against, yeah.
The thing about, I think, Jack Nicholson's Joker and Heath Ledger's Joker that worked so well, and even, like, Mark Hamill's, but Mark Hamill does the voice of it. It's not, and that doesn't factor in what I'm saying. They do what I expect out of the Joker, and the Joker's just all about pure chaos. Like, there's no real reason behind it. It's just chaos. And I think with his, you know, when Jack Nicholson, as you said, went on over the deep end of what he was doing, it became about chaos. There was a plan, but there wasn't really a... It didn't really do anything. Like, there wasn't any big result for it. He just did what he did. And then even the Heath Ledger Joker said... You know, and his thing. Do I look like a man with a plan?
Yeah,
and I think that's the whole thing. It's more about. I mean, he kind of had a plan, but what was it? It was chaos.
Yeah,
that was his goal. And
it was chaos, but it was well planned out chaos.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still
like to plan out the whole thing with chaos. The hospital and plan out the whole thing with the boats. Like
it's still end result chaos, and I didn't see that with this guy.
It was a plan in order to create chaos.
Yeah.
Like his plan, like he had everything well planned out with the end result of being there to manufacture chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With this one, but this is just this movie, and we didn't get to see him that much. I didn't really see so much of him having. I think he had a plan, and I think he seemed like he was more about organized crime.
Yeah, he seemed like he was a mob crime boss.
Yeah, mob boss. And not necessarily, he was just. He knew what he was going in to get. He wanted his property out of this. But then there were scenes where he was driving around the city with Harley, and they were just not caring about anything. And I was just like, so I think a lot of this character,
either
somebody's going to have to
Puddin'.
Make it better and give us more of something with this character, or I don't know.
No,
I don't know. I don't know if we will see this character again.
Jeff Johns. Needs well, no. I think
depending on what Ben
will.
Affleck.
I don't think. I don't
script.
Think Bat, Ben Affleck will put him in his movie.
I really don't want to see him in a movie yet. I think we just seen a Joker. In a movie
I had to guess, I'd say Ben Affleck. So much does not want to have his movie come out and him or his movie be panned, that he will not try to associate with anything that has come so far and not been critically well received.
I think that's a mistake, too, because he's really DC's last best chance to get legitimacy. Because Justice League's already filming, Wonder Woman's in the can, it's too late for those films to make significant changes at this point. Batman is their last chance to kind of...
I don't have hopes for Justice League.
I had somewhat hopes for this movie, but that's
everyone had hopes for this movie. Everyone was saying, oh, it's David Ayer, he has great things.
Like that tank movie he made.
Fury?
Yes. Mm. It was really bad. People liked it, but I thought it was bad.
I thought that this was a good chance for them to lighten the tone a little bit. And they didn't. I mean, you know, there were some funny jokes in there or whatever, but it was not what it could have been. And I enjoyed the movie, but it was disappointing that it could have been so much more with a little bit more control in the right places.
What villain would you want to see in the Batman what villain do you think would work best in that?
Well, from what I hear, it's supposed to be more of a...
I'd see Two-Face.
Like detective?
His origin? Is it going to be his origin again? Please?
No. Like,
please? Can he float up out of the ground?
I don't think he can even have that. I think that's, done. And we're at a point where he's an older Batman.
It's a mother-son movie.
So, I mean, you either get a new villain or a villain that's already existed.
I heard that it might take place in Arkham, and you'll see a lot of villains.
Professor Pig.
I mean, I can live with that.
Professor Pig, some Scarecrow.
I think I'd like to see Two-Face. I mean, I think Two-Face was done really well in The Dark Knight.
That's why I don't think you'll see him. Yeah.
I wish that Two-Face had been the...
I don't think he was used...
threat in the third movie.
Yeah.
Like, I wish he was still alive and became the threat in the third
movie. I agree. I think they ended that character a little too quick.
They did.
I don't think they let that character grow into the character he was. I love
Two-Face. No, because he had one night.
We're going to talk about him here a little bit later, but like I said, one of my favorite Batman stories is Long Halloween, and it just they gave us a little bit of that in The Dark Knight.
Long Halloween's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's just a fantastic story.
But we never saw Two-Face become the criminal, and that's my biggest
problem.
He had a revenge plot.
You saw Mrs. Two-Face because...
I mean, I get what he was
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, but I mean, in The Dark Knight, you know, he was going after the people he blamed for Rachel's death, but we never actually saw him become a criminal.
Yeah.
He did exactly what he said. You either, you know...
Well, I get
what... Oh, but then he started blackmailing the cops.
I get...
In that. Like, didn't he have one of the cops in his pocket at the end?
No.
Or was that Falcone.
Or not Falcone. Yeah. Maroni. Sal Maroni.
Yeah. Yeah, the one of them.
The woman.
The girl. He flipped the coin. She didn't.
Right.
They got tails.
Right. He knew. He went to see Sal Maroni, and Maroni told him who the two cops were. He knew the one
took
was.
Out one.
I thought it was Montoya was who they said it was, but it wasn't really Renee Montoya. Because she took him. Yeah, Ramirez.
But I thought
and then the other guy took Rachel.
He flipped the coin on Maroni. Maroni, I guess, was killed in the
limo. But I thought I thought Two-Face got the one cop to get Gordon's family.
I think that was
right, because she trusted. He had her. He had already taken her, and he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
He had her call Gordon's wife and said, yeah, she did that because she trusted you just like Rachel. He flipped the coin.
Oh.
The coin came up heads. He said, you live to see another day, officer, and then he knocks her out. Yeah. But he didn't... It wasn't like she was working for him.
No, what I'm saying is he became a criminal at that point.
Right, okay, but there was no, like, you know, I want $2 million Tuesday at 2 o'clock, like, you know...
No, there was just, Two-Face. I will murder if you don't do this.
But even there, that whole thing was part of the plot to get Gordon.
Yes.
Who he blamed for Rachel.
The part where you're thinking where a police officer took him was the point where the police officer took him, picked him up when they were taking him to where he was tied up with the oil.
Yeah.
That's when that...
No, I was thinking about... I was thinking he had...
The family.
I was thinking he had the cops like work for him.
Okay.
No,
point.
She wasn't working
for blackmailed. Whatever.
Yeah, and I don't think that was blackmail much as that was he had her at gunpoint and she was going to do
his decisions
it.
Were only made
but still,
on
long and short, he became a criminal at that point.
Yes.
Well,
even there, that whole thing was based on he blamed her for what happened. Yeah. Just the same.
I don't
as
care what his motives were, Pat. It's still you can't put a gun to someone's head. You're a criminal at that point.
Okay. Yes, you are a criminal, but he didn't become like...
His whole point was basically that the whole point of that character in that movie was to show that Gotham can take their white knight and corrupt it and turn it into the other side of the coin. And that was basically the metaphor behind that Two-Face character. And that's what I was saying. I liked what they did there. It was very quick. Like thing for a character that I like so much, but I didn't think they didn't do it justice. They just didn't do it enough justice.
They were just trying to show the common theme of it just takes one really bad day,
turn somebody into their worst criminal. But
they still didn't bastardize as bad as they did Talia al Ghul or Bane.
that was something. I have mixed feelings about that one, but I'd go into that for a while.
Like, it holds a special spot for me because it was filmed like right where I work at.
Okay.
So like,
you work in Gotham? That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you can see
not
Point
really.
Park
that would
movie.
Suck to work in Gotham.
Yeah.
Just,
no,
things being blown
Gotham,
up.
To live in Gotham would suck.
But
to work,
but like being at work and look out the window and like, oh yeah, there's the Tumbler right outside my building, or there's the bat flying down Wood Street. Like, so to me,
it's
even
like a normal
day. Even though the movie wasn't great, it still has holds fond memories. My brother's in the movie.
Joe Fellow was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's Joe Fellow doing?
He was in the Heinz Field.
Oh, in the crowd? Yeah. My brother was one of the football players.
Oh, that's cool.
Your brother signs Ward.
It'd be funny if he was just like, my brother was Commissioner Gordon.
Luke Ravenstall?
Luke Ravenstall.
He was the kicker.
I know.
My brother's Gary Oldman? That's awesome. Yeah, whoa.
He was a kicker for the
Serious
Black.
That guy from Fifth Element? I don't remember his name in that movie. Gary Oldman's character in Fifth Element.
I love that movie.
Oh. Bruce Willis is Corbin Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu.
All I remember is the stuff leaking from his
Rod,
head.
Zeus is the president. Ruby Rod.
Ruby
is...
Rod. I can't remember Gary Oldman's character.
I don't remember it. Oh, well. We'll think of it. If only there was a source.
What was Gary Oldman's character's name in The Fifth Element?
Let me check on that. Here's what I found on the web for who was Gary Oldman's character's name in The Fifth Element.
Useless, Siri.
Well, you said who was, not what was. She didn't understand.
No, she misheard.
She
me.
Should understand.
Don't defend her. Why do you always have her side?
I like how she guest starred on the podcast.
Anyway. So, Suicide Squad, worst movie ever. So that's what you're
not worst movie ever, no. But not... Yeah.
Disappointing. Electra still
yeah. Just, well, I see it again? Movie. Probably not.
And I don't care what anybody says. Marvel's
not
name is on that movie.
Not as bad as Fantastic Four.
No.
Still, Elektra. Okay. Elektra is the bottom of that list.
That wasn't a Marvel Studios.
Yes, it was. Mm.
No, it wasn't.
It says Marvel.
It was Fox.
Yeah, whatever.
Fox
Marvel Studios didn't exist there.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. Huh.
Okay.
I would have never remembered that name.
Zorg sounds familiar, but not...
It's from Toy Story.
That's Zod. No, Zod is another
Zod
character.
Is Superman.
Who was the villain from...
I thought it was Zorg.
I don't know.
You ask your phone. See if your Siri works better than Josh's Siri.
I have a Memphis Disney game on board.
I like Batman v Superman more than this movie.
Yeah, have you seen the ultimate cut?
Not yet, no.
No, I haven't. I haven't found Zerg. 3 hours to watch it. Zerg. Okay, I was close.
It's in my Amazon cart right now because it's on sale for $15.
Oh, okay.
On Blu-ray.
Close.
That's Buzz Lightyear's.
Yes, that's what I... Yes.
Emperor Zerg.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I'm sorry. My kids have grown.
It's such a derailed podcast.
Yeah. Well, hey, Dave. What'd you read?
Comic books, probably.
I wrote a Daniel Steele novel.
We'll go back to Marvel and talk about The Accused.
I skimmed it.
Okay.
I didn't quite read
it
all.
Well, it's a Matt Murdock story, pretty much. Even though he's a defense attorney, they bring him in to be the prosecuting attorney.
To try to get Hawkeye off.
You're reading Daredevil's book, right?
Yeah.
He's a prosecutor in his book, isn't he?
I'm sorry. Yes, that's right.
You almost there yet?
Yeah, I'm wrong. He's prosecuting attorney. But
I don't got all day.
Sorry.
You got to start rephrasing that. It's 2 weeks in a row now.
You need to, like, write down what you're about ready to say and then let everybody review it. And we'll decide.
So they bring in Matt to be prosecuting attorney in Hawkeye's trial. And Matt finds out that they just brought him in because... the Department of Justice can control him. And so Matt, he smells rotten. Something's rotten. So he breaks into... he shouldn't have done this, but he broke into the Department of Justice. And he finds out that the reason they want a conviction on Hawkeye is because they're trying to pass, wait for it, the Superhuman Registration Act 2.
Oh, they've done it. 2?
Yes.
Two does have a big two.
Yes.
Electric Boogaloo. So, but hold on. Hawkeye doesn't have superhuman powers, though.
You know what?
Yeah, he does. He can see somebody turning green from 100 yards.
Supposedly, they jump back and forth with him having, like, some sort of accuracy.
But he's got bad hearing. Oh, wait, no, his hearing's fine. Depends on who's writing him.
Okay, but none of that's superhuman powers. I'm just saying, if you're using Hawkeye...
I know. I don't have an answer. That's what that is. Colin's the lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
Fix it, Colin.
Yeah, and how come Daredevil didn't recuse himself?
Well, he wants a fair trial, so he makes a motion to enter Bruce Banner's video diary back into evidence, which is where Bruce asks Clint, to shoot him, to kill him.
I still don't think that makes it legal.
Well, I know. But even there, wouldn't that help the defense, not the prosecution?
Yeah, but Matt's
a horrible lawyer.
He wants a fair trial, and they're not happy with him that he does that.
Is Marcia Clark his mentor?
Poor Marcia Clark.
Put this glove on. It doesn't fit. Oh, damn it.
Can you straighten your fingers? No, it didn't fit.
Did you watch that AMC show?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's really good.
I lived it, man.
Did Hawkeye use the Chewbacca defense?
Twinkie defense.
So, of course, Hawkeye's acquitted on the last page, as we know.
Yeah, they spoiled that in another book, they came out beforehand.
Yeah, it's all, the whole issue was flashback. Anticlimactic for sure, yeah. And,
I wonder how this is going to turn out.
Spoiling the book before, because they're always like, whatever they're doing. Nothing's planned out, because you can't plan it.
You can't plan a baby.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why would you have this book come out after you've already shown what happens in the aftermath? It ends any suspense.
Yeah. Well,
that's why it was classified, so we didn't know what it was going to be about when we ordered it.
Oh, I thought it was classified because we didn't know what the hell it was. Like, why would you do that? It's a secret.
Okay, next book, we'll move on. Did anybody read The Flintstones?
Yes.
I read it.
Number 2. I thought it was a really good issue.
I really liked it.
Not that the first issue was bad, but I thought it really hit its stride in this issue with the satire and everything.
No, it was good. I don't know if I loved it, but it was good.
We get, at the beginning, Barney and Betty, they get a television, and Fred is totally freaked out by the wall demon. He calls it. And then one of the plot lines is crap has come to Bedrock, and everybody wants crap.
Crap?
Yeah.
Bunch of buying stuff.
They have no use for it.
Okay.
Just
going to the mall buying crap.
Yeah,
like,
just consumerism.
Yeah, consumerism. Fred buys a Power Goat 3000.
A Power Goat?
Which is like a goat on the end of a weed. Yeah. Goat at the end of a lawnmower, or weed whacker or something.
It's a stick with a goat tied to it.
It's my goat stick.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things they go through. My favorite part of this book was them trying to figure out their god.
Yeah.
And Morp. And Morp, they explained in this. They mentioned him in the first one. Morp is a bird that flew them to, their destination. Like, he was flying, so they followed it or whatever, and that's how they ended up there. Well,
helped them along the way.
Yeah. And they were at the mall. And the preacher of this church or whatever unveils that they found Morp at the mall and he's a record player. And they're just, so they couldn't take their religion seriously anymore because of this.
Yeah.
So he develops like a new he just sits there trying to figure out a new god. So they found an elephant.
Peaches, right?
Peaches. Peaches. Yeah. Peaches. So it's the church, this new church that worships their new god, Peaches. And Peaches, everybody figured out the mall was a vacuum cleaner. So they couldn't do that anymore. So they were getting really irritated that they weren't going to go. So they had to figure out something. So they invented the invisible god. That it's just an empty chair, and they're just like, this is our god now, this is who we're worshiping. And I was just like, it was really fun.
Guess they couldn't think of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah, so Peaches goes from being a god back to vacuum cleaner.
They said they'll find a use for
it. Yeah. We also get Fred returns the Power Goat.
Yeah.
And get our first mention of Dino.
He returns the dishwasher with the Power Goat.
Okay.
The dishwasher, for some reason, when they bought it, only had 7 tentacles. It was an octopus.
Oh, right,
okay.
Right.
So he's like, I can give you store credit.
Septipus.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And he was just like, well, I don't really need anything or something. But he was just like, well, how much is that? It was Dino.
Okay.
So they're introducing Dino now into the story. Yep. It's fun. I like how it takes on, like, more of these type of social issues instead of, like, Perez did focus on politics and stuff like that. I thought that I really like that because of that book being like that. But this one takes on some interesting stuff as well, just not as, you know, I'm sure they'll probably try, like, social media and stuff of today. I like how they're focusing on that, because really, if you think about it, that's what Flintstones was when it was originally made. It was supposed to take on issues that were, you know, of that time. Not exactly like this, but, you know, it still had that same type of mission. So. But I've liked it. The first issue was okay.
It was okay. I like this, like I said, I like this one a lot better, yeah.
So I want to see where
it goes. I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
I haven't, like, fully loved any of these Hanna-Barbera books so far.
I agree.
I really enjoyed the first two Future Quest, but the last one was a turnoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think it was too early to do something like that.
I've actually really liked Scooby Apocalypse recently, though. I think it's picked up a little bit, yeah.
I've liked it, yeah. I've liked that.
But yeah, I agree. Future Quest, that last issue, we talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think Future Quest is just, it needed to go somewhere by now.
Mm-hmm.
I think by third issue, I thought, like, the second
too soon to do that.
Yeah, it kind of stalled the narrative of the book.
And I think they should have had, if they wanted to introduce
a backup would have worked for that.
A backup would have.
Well, that's the thing. I think if they need to introduce characters, they should have did a backup. And I think they need to do that anyways, because you got a lot of people picking up these books that aren't familiar with all these Hanna-Barbera characters. You know, unless it's like Johnny Quest or somebody.
Well, or worse yet, you got people who may have grown up watching Harvey Birdman and Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and I think that's what the characters are.
They're expecting Moltar to be, you know.
Yeah.
Running the camera.
Hi, my name is Brack. Yeah. No, that's not what Space Ghost was.
No. You know, but you're not getting that. I think they should have did that with this book. I don't remember who was talking about it. I think it was Russ. He was in here on one Saturday, and he was talking about the book a little bit. He was just like, it got to the end where, in the second issue, I believe, where they introduced that woman character who was like, obviously, like some sort
Jaina.
Of antagonist of Race Bannon.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and,
the other one.
And he was reading it, he was like, okay, who is this? You know, so it was, they made it like a shock, and it's just like, nobody knows who that is.
Jezebel Jade, old, because I
know
who
that was. They should have
gave
something for that. But that's the thing, you're at a time where you're reintroducing these characters to people, you might as well get new people into it, you have to give them something. I think a backup would have came in handy for that.
Yeah.
It also would have moved this story along by now. But I really like the covers of some of these books, though, especially the variants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when the best thing you can say is I really like the cover, that's not really a positive.
Comics, it helps, though, sometimes.
I really liked Harley's hot pants in Suicide Squad, so I'm going to give it a... You know.
It was okay. We'll go with that.
Darth Vader, number 24.
The penultimate
issue of this series.
I was not a fan.
Yeah, this is a different kind of issue.
I think it spent a third of the book rehashing the end of Revenge of the Sith, and that was super unnecessary.
I don't get why. Okay, well, basically in this what's his name? Silos?
Silos
was part of the creation of his robotic suit, of Darth Vader's suit. So he was able to turn it off with a remote control, yeah, which I thought was a little much. You know, he was just like, ha ha, Darth Vader's, you know. But my biggest problem, being a Star Wars fan, I looked at this and I was just like, of course he's going to use the Force.
Yeah.
His robot suit works so much, but then he has the Force. He can... This guy's... Yeah, Darth Vader is one of the strongest people with the Force.
Yeah, he Force chokes somebody through a TV screen.
Yes.
So...
But he... I don't quite get his flashback helping him and strengthening him to use the Force. Like, that's what it seemed like that flashback was all about, because when he,
well, no, because
he got to the part where he was just like, I killed
him. I think he, like...
He got angry.
Yeah, I think...
He was
cool. Think that was just, he used that to angry enough to use the strength?
Yeah. I think he finally killed, like, what was left, or what he thought was left of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he has that...
Because he was able to throw him into that.
Because he has that... He has that battle in his mind with himself.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm accustomed to killing children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says Anakin's dead or something, you know, right before he, you know, he kills Silo with that lightsaber through the torso.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Sith go-to move now.
Yeah. But there's no real killing Silo, though. Silo's a clone. So this one was Silo 5. And Silo 6
woke up
after he killed him.
But then Aphra goes to see the Emperor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's going to end well for her.
Yeah, that was good.
Aphra gets her groove back.
Yeah, she just walks right into the throne room.
She was making a deal with him? I don't know what she was doing. What do you think she was up to?
Well, I think she was going to rat out Vader, but I can't imagine that's going to go real well for her.
Yeah.
I don't see this character surviving any of this.
I hope she survives, but we'll see.
I don't care that she survives, because...
You hope Vader survives?
I don't care if he survives either.
I don't know if he'll make it through that.
No! I want to go back to, you know, BT and Triple Zero. That's who I want to see.
Yeah, they weren't in it at all.
The few issues back, the gas came out of the computer. I had no idea that was from him. Like, how did he do that? Because it seemed like he, in order to have all the gas, that poisonous gas leak from the computer... He would have had to plug into the computer, and then there would have been, like, pipework for gas to come through there. Like, I thought he just...
I don't know.
It was very odd. Like,
maybe he was on the other side of the wall and sprayed it through, and it went through the... I don't know.
Made it work. Who knows?
Josh, you're a computer guy.
Yeah, how do you get
gas through computers? What's the executable command for that?
Yeah. Funny you should mention this.
What operating system?
Because Ubisoft... has actually just released a take on Oculus Rift, which is the virtual reality headset. Only it is for your sense of smell.
Smell
vision. And they are releasing it in conjunction with the new South Park game.
Oh, yeah, so I heard about that.
And a reviewer or someone from IGN used it while playing the game and thought it was incredible, and they hope to never experience it again. Because it was as disgusting as you would think.
How long they've been talking about smell-o-vision? Like, since the internet, like, went big for...
Well before that. Yeah, well before that.
Scratches, no. Yeah. Scented swamp thing, fungus.
Go back to Daredevil, another Daredevil story. Daredevil number 10.
Yeah.
Did you read that, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the start of a new arc, Dark Art, and I didn't think the last arc ended.
It's not charging. Good, Dave.
But anyhow,
I don't mean to interrupt you, Dave. But
go ahead.
I was looking for the name of it. It's called the Nauseous Rift. It is a VR headset that just goes right in your nose.
You said you put something right on your nose. cigarette smoke.
It was
something near you that makes emits a smell. It's something
you'll
you actually
think breathe right strips are hilarious.
Ubisoft built a headset that lets you smell farts as you play the new South Park game.
I mean, depending on who you play your game with, I mean, you don't need smell-o-vision.
Remember that Scratch and Sniff Harley Quinn issue?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that thing was disgusting. Quinn. There were some smells that were just awful.
Yep.
Did you ever experience that? Did you smell that issue?
No.
Okay. Oh, it's bad.
No.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, I did.
I'm above that.
I didn't smell that. I didn't smell the swamp thing last week or anything.
We could still probably
not be with that. Yeah, I sold out of those, sadly.
Oh, I thought we sold
them. I thought you were happy when you sold out of things.
Oh, I am, but...
That was a San Diego exclusive, yeah. Right?
Well, he's sad for other people. Not himself.
Daredevil 10. It was okay. It starts off with Matt pursuing... just the criminal on the Upper East Side, and he says, he decided to let the guy get away a little bit because he wants to experience what's new on the Upper East Side because he might need to know this stuff in the future.
It's moving on.
Moving on.
That's a crossover I would read.
CDD, Dynamite.
It's not the same.
That was good times, not the Jeffers.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Way to go, Wheezy.
Yeah. Wheezy teamed up with
Wheezy and Florence.
Oh, man.
And then he took his costume to Jefferson Cleaners.
Would you read Jefferson's Apocalypse?
Then Archie Bunker walks in.
There, now
that's correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Redeem my 70s TV knowledge. You can't tie Mod with Jefferson's, but you can tie Mod.
Stifle it, Foggy.
Archie.
Man, Colin. So we get Blind Spot returns here. He's working for Matt as a paralegal.
Somehow.
And Matt brings him back. And,
where did he go?
I don't know where he went. He was just kind of...
He's been in the Daredevil Punisher series.
He wasn't in the last arc with that blind man's bluff thing. Because, yeah, Matt was out of the country.
But Nine Fingers isn't in
it. Well, he wasn't in it, too, because he broke his arm in the end of the first...
Oh, one. Yeah. Electra, he was in that Electra.
He's working at the law firm. Or not the law firm.
Yeah, Electra broke his arm, and now he's all healed up.
Broke his arm.
I forgot about that.
And he couldn't work his regular job. So Matt hired him.
Yeah. So Blind Spot gets this note. I guess people leave, like, notes for him if they're in trouble. And he gets this note to be at this place where a battle's going to start. Yeah. And it's this... He gets there, and it's this huge mural painting that's done in blood. Yeah. And there's some guy slumped over, and then he
called.
It looked like the guy was missing his eyes.
Yeah.
Just how it was drawn. I don't know. I couldn't really tell for sure because of the sketchiness of the artist's choice. But.
Yeah. It's like an abstract painting in blood, and Matt gets there, and he's like, it's not just blood. It's the blood of 113 people.
One thing I liked about this book, though, and
one cat.
It brings up the point that you just brought up with him able to smell amounts of blood.
Okay.
Throughout this whole book, he kind of goes into depth about what he can do with his abilities. He was able to say, why. They explain why he's able to smell different bloods, because, all bloods have a different smell to them because of diet and, all sorts of factors that are involved and stuff like that. So it gives you an idea of his powers a little more than I think they've given you before.
That's something I think I missed from the book, from Mark Waid's run, just the Matt using his radar sense and how that's depicted. They find all these weird... new ways to depict his powers.
Yeah.
The previous artists, but I don't think they're...
I like the way they did that in Wade's run.
Well,
yeah, they're not doing that a lot in this book at all.
Radar. Yeah. On this book, they're focusing on the multiple other senses that he has. Okay. Smell, you know, things that
taste. He licks the blood, knows there's 113 people. Only three of them had hepatitis, so. Yeah.
Well, now another one does. but, I don't know. This book has been okay. Like, it's not something that I didn't like the first arc at all. The second arc with Electra was better. The casino arc was interesting because, as I said, they gave you another idea of his senses. Biggest problem with this book, though, is they're taking a long time just to explain why nobody knows him. You know, him.
Yeah.
Why it's just taking a long time to get to him.
Yeah, they're waiting for Civil War to be over or something.
Who knows? I'm tired of waiting.
Yeah.
I don't have patience for this.
Yeah, it's just been okay. It's not it's not to the top of the stack at this point.
I do like how it isn't going into Civil War at all, even though
True. That is a good point.
Which a book that I kind of canned the other last week was
That's kind of
Spider-Man 2099, which I was just like, why is this?
I know that's kind of that is kind of surprising because every other Marvel book has that Civil War banner on it.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not on this. There have been, three reboots of that book, I believe? Spider-Man 2099? Maybe two. I think that was this one.
Yeah.
And it was just, every time it's derailed by an event. So.
Okay. Ian, I'll mention quickly, last one, Empress number 5 by Mark Miller and Stuart Immonen. This book, it's just like a runaway train. It's all action. I think it's going to read really good in a trade.
That song started going through my head.
Runaway train.
Quit
derailing
the podcast.
I know, I'm sorry.
Now the whole song is playing in my head.
I know, me too.
The entire song. As I say this, I'm listening to it in my head right now. Jerk.
Yeah, Adam, your song is...
This is the queen is on the run from her from King Morax with her kids. The kids have been captured and are going to be by these rabid scavengers, and they're going to be sold. They're going to be sold into slavery, and they're really valuable because they're King Morax's kids. And the mom and the bodyguard and the other guy, they're in their ship. And they're about to be on this one planet, Nakamura, and they're about to be thrown in this fiery pit as a sacrifice to these tribal people. And they get the shields working on the ship just as they're thrown in, and they're able to be saved and fly away. And the kids are locked up, and the one boy is really smart, and he builds a gun out of... They made a mistake. They left him in this big room with all this junk that the boy can build MacGyver. Something out of. Can MacGyver, exactly, thank you. And so he builds a huge gun, and on the last page, one of the scavenger guys pulls a grenade, and the ship, last page is the ship blowing up. Who lives, who dies, we'll see in the next issue, hopefully. but the story is told as a breakneck pace, and I think it's pretty good.
You don't look like you have a broken neck.
It was just the pace. He's okay.
Dave's fast enough; he can keep up with the pace. Average reader,
the whole Santa thing.
Yeah. Your average reader, though,
exactly.
Snapping necks.
How excited are you about reading Claws tonight?
Oh, I'm very excited.
He lived it.
Yes.
I didn't realize that book was still going.
I know the ending.
This
though.
Is the last issue. It came out before Christmas. I'm happy.
I know.
Yeah.
That would be a big trade.
I guess I feel like it should have been, you know...
be a hardcover.
Sort of a couple months before Christmas.
And
went through winter, and then sort of like shortly after Christmas.
Are you saying they should have pulled a Civil War and added an eighth issue?
No, I'm just saying it's kind of weird that August is when the Santa Claus book is wrapping up.
I know, that's right. And they got the December back and it finished up.
Maybe we'll have Claus 2 in December. Hmm.
I'll probably buy the trade when it comes out. I got the first issue on local comic shop day. I liked it. Yeah. So I'll probably get the trade when it.
Yeah, her name's Jessica. She's a school teacher. God. Sorry. Burgermeister Meister Burgers there.
You can buy
these movies. The Heat Miser and the Cold Miser were there somewhere, too. Yeah, Jessica was from... Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. They were.
With the Burgermeister Meister Burger.
Yeah. In the winter. That wizard guy.
I mean, Dave should know. It was
his life.
I've lived it. I mean...
I expect Dave to dress up Santa on Christmas.
I expect it.
What if Dave's really Krampus?
Oh man.
What if he's really Santa?
I believe he's Krampus.
He wears red.
A lot.
I'm not every day.
I don't wear red every day.
Every Wednesday when you deliver gifts to everybody.
I don't know. Not all of them are gifts.
Santa doesn't ask me to pull my wallet out.
You have an elf named Tim. So...
No. That's really disenfranchising me on the whole idea of elves now.
That's your idea of an elf.
Santa makes me pay him and he has a troll.
Damn, you just called Tim a troll. That's messed up.
We're all trolls, Pat. Let's be honest. None of us are elves.
Dave.
Adam might be.
That's all I have.
I thought you were calling Dave enough.
Pat or Josh, we'll weigh around the table.
I'll go.
Okay.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Yeah.
This book is doing a great job of telling me a story I already know and keeping me very interested in it.
Yes, I agree. The only problem I have, and it's, I'm sorry, I'm nitpicking here, is that you made him a Navy SEAL. I get that it's nitpicking, but it's like, okay, that wasn't what he was. He was a colonel. He was in the Air Force. You can make him a commando. That's okay. Why do you have to make him a Navy SEAL?
This destroyed the story.
You're like,
I don't even get it anymore.
No, but if that's the kind of stuff I'm focusing in on, then it's a good story.
So you prefer if Steve Trevor goes commando rather than
sure,
Navy
why
SEAL.
Not?
It's like I was hoping.
Little known fact, most guys in the field do go commando.
Now you know.
Could have went the rest of my life without knowing that.
Too bad. Then you should have shut your mouth.
No, I don't regret what I said.
Okay. No, but it.
I laughed. Adam laughed. That was all I needed. Two out of five.
You needed his approval?
Two out of five.
What does that say about your self-esteem when you're looking for him for approval?
You looked at him.
I didn't look at him.
No, I mean, your jokes, you looked at him. How's that any better?
Wow.
You take your big red, I'll take mine.
Man. I don't know what you're laughing about. He just put you on par with Adam.
I was just laughing at the big red. Okay.
No, but I agree. It takes a story that... we all know, and it actually makes
jiggly
it.
Puff going through my head. Okay, I hope you're happy. I was talking about Jiggly Trump, and then I put it to the song of Jellicle Cats in my head. Jiggly Trump, and I couldn't get it.
That's our best podcast ever.
I know it is. Hello, is anybody still listening? We're sorry.
Yep.
We're not sorry.
I'm sorry.
Zach's still there, even though you blew up the question.
I know. I totally forgot.
You better do it tonight.
I don't even remember what it was, but I did like a 10-page response to him, and so
they don't want. They want to hear their question.
That's fine. Give me my phone.
On the
so
podcast.
Zach's question again.
His phone.
I'm sorry. It's almost dead. You're sitting next to the charger.
All right, moving
doesn't
forward.
Doesn't it suck when
still
you get damned?
I don't
care.
It just
does not fit because of this extension.
Red Hood and the Outlaws. Anybody else read that?
Nope.
Okay. It was pretty interesting. So, Red Hood, he is quote-unquote joining Black Mask's gang. And... so, Black Mask has guys that are... They screwed up a mission, and he wants Red Hood to kill them. And Red Hood goes, well, dead guys don't make good henchmen. Black Mask whole thing, I appreciate that, but I'm going to kill him anyway. He blows him up, which, you know, okay, fine. But it sets up that, like, Black Mask isn't looking for a henchman. He's looking for someone to take over. And what they actually start off with going back when Jason was a kid. Apparently, before he went to live with Bruce, he went to a boarding school. And the woman that was running the boarding school was using delinquents as a gang. I forget what, Ma Guns, I think, was her name was. So she gets out of jail, and Black Mask tells her, well, now you work for me, and that's what his guy screwed up. They were supposed to kill her, and Red Hood stops him. So Black Mask sends Red Hood and some other guys out on a mission, and right at the end, he meets Artemis, who proceeds to kick his ass. So, we still haven't seen Bizarro show up yet, but this the first arc is called Dark Trinity, so I think they're really going to play up on that aspect of it.
I'd expect them to.
Yeah, I just...
If you didn't, that would be odd.
Yeah.
It seems like that was the plan.
Ringside.
Yep.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
6 month hiatus.
Yeah, I think that was the problem with 6 month hiatus, and it wasn't anything stellar.
Yeah.
You know, it some amount of time has passed, and Danny is working for this guy that Teddy owes money to, as kind of an enforcer type guy.
I guess he's kind of a drug lord of some sort.
Yeah, but I think he's more than just that. But yeah, so he's working as an enforcer. And he needs somebody to go to Oregon to run his empire. So he says, you know, he's going to send Danny out to Oregon, and Teddy can go with him. But if they try to escape, he's going to kill them both.
Yeah.
Finish him.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, you have the other guy that was a wrestler. He's going somewhere to train. Like, that's the part that seems disconnected. Like, it was clear that there was a relationship between him and Danny. Like, they had wrestled before, but it's like, I don't know why he's still part of the story. That wasn't made very clear.
They were also in a relationship, weren't they? Before he disappeared?
They may have been. But, like, what he's doing now, that part's not as clear.
Yeah.
But it was okay. But it was just
a good reveal at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should mention it if anybody's reading it or wants to read it.
But to me, it was just okay.
Yeah. It was, I guess, a good reintroduction, kinda, because I kind of forgot what happened.
Who reads that book?
Joe Keaton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Your buddy.
I know Joe.
So.
I kind of like the story going on with the other guy a little better anyways.
Right, I do too, but at the same time, it really, that's more the wrestling story, where the other is more of a, Teddy's story is more of a crime story.
I feel like it's gonna connect at some point.
I'm sure it will, but it seems disconnected right now.
Yeah. It's okay, yeah. But as the whole thing, like, I'm not adding a lot of image books because of this, because
the 6 month gap between arcs.
Yeah, it's starting to get obnoxious.
I have
the
more and more
is like a good example of that.
More and more, I've been deciding to just hold off and do trades for image books.
Yeah, because I just don't. The weight is really hurting the experience of reading the book.
Southern Bastards.
That just on my retailer end. Well, not so much that, but you say, okay, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to get this in trade, and then when it comes out in trade, oh, geez, I got $45 in books. I really don't want to add a $20 trade. I'll get it next time. And then two weeks later goes by, you forget about it, you don't get it, or you look at it and you're like, I don't even remember what happened because it's been so long since I read the last one, and you think, I don't.
Well,
really
what happens
it.
Is. I end up not getting it until you have one of your sales. I'm like,
oh, I have to pick out three trades. I want to read this, and this.
Yeah.
But so it's not so much changing those dollars for that dollars, but it's dollars that may happen, or by the time, you know, let's say it's 6 months, like it's a DC plan, 6 months after the last issue, when it finally comes out in trade, do you remember what you had read? Do you still, are you still interested? Or are you onto something else? So
well,
it's just
I think a good example for me with that, what you're saying, is Descender. Because I read that exclusively trade, and then I don't remember what happened in the last trade that I read, and then that still has a little while, I think, until the next one comes out.
Yeah, but it's just a case of there's
it happens in that
too. Giving you the opportunity to forget or skip, whereas if you're getting the issues, if it's enough of a draw to keep you reading the issues instead of trade waiting. So it's just. And then, oh, well, you know what, this is only two trades, maybe I'll wait and just get it in the big hardcover if they release that, and you're putting it off and putting it off.
I feel
off.
Like for That's me, though, my retention, long-term retention of the story is better when I can read a block of issues all at once.
Absolutely. But it's just,
and I enjoy
it's,
it more.
It's I think it's dangerous those, just because you're putting
you do,
off
you
and putting off.
Yeah. Like if I
dangerous
that,
for you.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I, well, I think,
and for the writer.
But, yeah,
you know?
But I think, at least for me, I do that. Like, I'm more prone to do that now because I'm also already buying 15 other books a week. So it's like, I don't.
Right.
For that book, I'll just wait and do it a trade instead of adding on more single issues and have these wacky gaps between. And
I think you're right, though, about, like, if you read it as a trade, sometimes I think I remember more what happened just because I read that.
Remember more
that
and I enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like, the reason why I don't do hardly any of the DC trades just because I don't want to wait a year before I can read what everyone else already read.
Yeah, like I've been
kind of hoping they back off the hardcovers with this
with the relaunch,
especially because they're going to be coming out so much faster. Just thinking, the first Batman arc just ended, so the first trade is going to be Rebirth through 5.
Oh, does today end the arc?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kinda. It's not a hard end, but it's probably the end of the first story arc, and then they'll be next. Well, I think now it goes into that
Monster Man.
I'm guessing they're not going to wait. You know, you don't want to do, okay, well, we're going to wait 6 months to come out with the hardcover, and then another 6 months after that in the trade. Because by the time we come out with the trade, we're already on issue 24 or whatever.
No, they have to up the pace to, like,
yeah.
If they're going to keep it with the same ratio they did before, they have to up it to 3 months and 3 months.
Right.
Otherwise, we'll fall too far behind.
Now, here would be the question.
But I'm hoping just lose the hardcover. We don't need the hardcover. There's not that many hardcover buyers. Or if you're going to do them two in a hardcover, to make the hardcover something separate from just a hardcover, softcover thing.
I wonder how they're going to do Wonder Woman then. Because
that's going to have to be two trades after 6 months. Or after however long it goes, a year. So you get 6 issues of each.
Yeah.
Not a year, 6 months.
Well, six, yeah.
But yeah. So, I mean, each one, I'm sure, is going to be played different. You're not going to expect all the number one trades
to show up
the
same
month,
week.
So I'm not worried about. I remember they staggered the new 52 ones that because they realized all of a sudden coming out with 52 volume ones the same month would be a little daunting. So we'll see what they do. I haven't seen anything yet.
All-Star Batman.
I read that.
That was really good.
Yeah,
But yeah, do you want to give a brief summary? Because otherwise, a lot of times we don't do that. We say, "Oh, I liked it."
Yeah,
and talk generally about it. But
I think about
maybe
a lot of times we do too much.
I
agree with that.
Yeah, no, but sometimes we do. I know I tend not to recap the book. I tend just to say I really liked it. Blah blah blah. And
I've been trying, I've been consciously trying not to recap lately myself because sometimes I feel
that's
like we just
I don't
go on
too
long
too
about
much
yeah.
too, especially if we're telling readers to read this.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Like, yeah.
We don't want to do the full recap.
Okay.
No.
We'll make this simple.
There you go.
So the basic premise is Batman has to transport Two-Face, and he...
When did Two-Face become this knowledge mastermind?
Yeah, I didn't get. But he... Two-Face essentially blackmails the whole state that if Batman gets him to... out of state, he's going to release all the bad information on the internet.
The dirt he has on everybody.
And if he gets freed, he's going to reward the person. And it was some, I think it was $200 million. It was some outrageous amount of money.
Yeah. An incentive for the peons and blackmail for the people that actually know, have something to hide.
And
so it covers all his base. If you don't need the money, well, you need to make
you
sure
have some information,
aren't.
Yeah, no one's going to stop this from happening because of the information.
And his plan was to get him out of the city for...
So, to get him to a house.
Some sort of...
I think maybe to reclaim Harvey.
Yeah.
Two-Face. Because, Two-Face has taken over Harvey. But, yeah, I just don't understand. Where did he get all this information? I don't understand.
I think that's something we'll...
That's not a Two-Face plan.
No.
That'd be a Riddler plan. I'd accept that, but not so much
Two-Face. The only part that bugs me is, technically, Two-Face was dead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So,
well, but All-Star Batman isn't taking place in the regular universe, I thought.
Yeah,
I think it is.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was kind of an outside.
Duke?
Well, that was the backup, which I enjoyed the backup quite a bit.
Yeah, if you're going to put a backup of him training Duke, I think that...
He's also wearing the Batman
It's in the same continuity as the main book.
Capullo Batman outfit and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still don't understand the huge batarang on the cover, and it did show him it on his back at one point, but he never used it. It was never a plot point. And to have it on the cover, it was
I didn't like that cover.
No, neither did I.
What cover did you get? Well, I guess you don't... You buy them all, you don't.
Get them. My favorite was the Jock.
What cover did you get?
I got the Jock one,
but I also got the main one,
because I like the main one.
You got the main one?
Yeah.
I got the Declan Shelby one.
That was a good one, too. And he did the back. I thought his art in the backup was very good. Mm-hmm.
His cover almost reminded me, at least color-wise, Frank Avila a bit.
Yeah, the orange. Yeah, mm-hmm. The orange red. Yeah.
So. Detective.
That was really good.
I really enjoyed it.
Sorry, just to get back to All-Star Batman real quick.
Okay.
I felt like the story was almost too big for Batman, how he could counteract everybody gunning for him. And some of the stuff seemed a little odd in the story, like when all of a sudden the guy was shooting at what looked like Batman in the cornfield. Mm-hmm. When did Batman have time to pull a dummy and make a dummy that looked like him?
He's Batman. He knew he was going to go down that cornfield.
Was it a dummy?
I don't know what it was, but the guy thought it was Batman and was shooting
it out of
it.
His bat belt.
Oh, yeah, right. He did. He made that corn husk dummy thing.
Yeah, but then he found a chainsaw and went after the guy with the chainsaw, and it's like the guy stood there while he chainsawed
And then the one part where he just grabbed the dude's ankles, pulled him down, and then everyone's like, oh, where'd they go?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Into a cornfield. Yeah.
Literally right there. Literally 3 feet in front of you on the ground. That's where they're at.
Yeah, so there are quite a few things where...
Yeah, I get that. And also, I felt like, and it was weird since it's Snyder writing this Batman felt a bit more quippy than Snyder's Batman felt.
In Batman.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to make him a little more like that after the...
After Endgame.
When he got his new memories. And I think he's trying to become a new Batman. I think that's why he had the new purple outfit.
Yeah.
He's just trying to...
Still not loving the belt.
I like it.
They made such a big deal about
it. Does it match his shoes or something?
Well, no, but complaining that people aren't drawing it right and stuff like that. I'm like, I think it's just overcomplicated. What was wrong with the belt?
Simple
pouches. This has a fancy design to it.
Make it look like a bat.
Yeah.
It matches.
Whatever.
What, it matches the drapes? What? I don't know. Continue.
You know what you did. Don't act like you know what you did.
Detective.
Act all innocent. Wait, what did you say?
I was getting that song in his head again.
Oh. The Jigglypuff song?
Jiggly Trump.
Whatever.
Jiggly Jar Jar Doo.
Anyway, I enjoyed the
detective's great. They are doing a team book in the perfect way. Batman plays almost the smallest role in this book, and it works. Everyone else being written so well, and everyone, I don't feel like there's any characters, unlike Suicide Squad the movie, there are no characters that feel like they're just,
they're there.
Stuck there in terms, just to have them on the page. Everyone has a purpose.
Mm-hmm. I really like the flashback stuff with Kate and her dad,
because
it really sets up what his motivation is.
Yeah, it worked well there. It wasn't unnecessary.
I like the flashback where he was meeting up with the person who was like giving him a promotion or whatever, they raised his clearance.
Yeah.
And they left in the middle of the meeting. He was just like, yeah, it kind of showed the kind of the attitude of the character. Mm-hmm. Because he was just like,
gotta go.
I got something else to do. They're like, better than this. And they're like, it's my daughter. And he just walks out. Like, it's just like, okay, he has them where he wants them.
The thing about this is, and they did address it, I think it was in the last issue, it might have been 2 issues ago. I mean, that's Bruce's uncle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's almost something, you know, you forget about because his motivation, like, you saw what his motivation was in this issue, but, like, you can see how this is going to take him to dark places.
It's Bruce's uncle, but those two families are, you know, pretty much...
Yeah, they're...
I think there's something in, like, Batman mythos that, like, those families feuded a little bit. The
Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah. I think they had some issues, and I think that's... when these two got together, like, that was a issue in its own, but they're one of the prominent families, like, if you remember from Gates of Gotham with the bridges, like, they all have bridges.
It was Kane County.
It was Kane, yeah, and then Kane County, I think, is where, I think that's where the mansion is, I think, but there's all this stuff that DC's Batman, that,
yeah,
you know, little things like that, but yeah, I loved this issue. I really did. I thought this was just fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. I love the story that they're doing. I like this this kid with the bat t-shirt, Batman t-shirt, because you know he's going to become the bad guy.
Yeah.
So,
but I like that Tim, you know,
bested him.
Yeah, bested him. Cassandra's a badass.
Yeah.
In this, I love the part where Clayface was like, "Sorry, sir." To Batman. I don't know why, I thought it was funny.
I've liked him in it. I was a little surprised that I do like him as well.
Yeah.
Because it was...
I thought, when they first announced he was being, I thought, oh, this is a freaking...
Yeah.
You know, just
but I like, because it's not a character that gets used very often.
No,
and
it doesn't come across as a stunt. Like,
no.
They did it in a way where he feels like it makes sense him being there.
You know, mm-hmm. I think they built it up a little bit in New 52, because they made him into a character that just kind of gave up after a while because of how he looked, and he couldn't do anything anymore.
They've made
and,
I think they've made him into a truly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which they were doing with Killer Croc. But I don't know if they're sticking with that, because I didn't read Suicide Squad.
No, and I feel like they succeeded with making that way, but yeah, I don't know with Suicide Squad.
Because yeah. I kind of like them like that in Batman.
Batman Eternal? Yeah, especially when he was rocking the Egyptian headgear. That was awesome.
That's part of his look.
Yeah. And then the last one I'll hit was New Superman.
I didn't
get to it.
You can't hit the New Superman.
You want to hit the New Superman. See, I like that better than I like the other one. But New Superman...
The other one?
Yeah, Superwoman.
Oh.
I know you and Colin both really like that, and I thought it was okay, but just...
Girl power, Colin. Yeah.
Just not my thing.
Girl.
But in the New Superman... No, I like women.
Uh-oh. Womp womp.
I'm into goats.
Fred has a special
goat. Huh?
Where's that goat with the stick at?
Yeah.
Oh, Fred
for looking for a good time.
From a goat with a stick.
Never mind, I'm about to get it E-rated. So, no, New Superman, it starts...
Aren't they all like New Superman right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, New Chinese Superman.
Super Asian Man.
Yeah.
Secret Asian Man?
Super Asian Man.
Oh, okay. No, but it starts off with him fighting the Chinese Wonder Woman and a Chinese Batman. And in a lot of ways, it's very similar to the Justice League 3000, where they don't really get along. But there's a... I don't know how to explain it. Essentially, a WikiLeaks-type guy that gets captured by a supervillain.
Julian Assange.
Yeah. And... the government is afraid that he's going to leak all this information because the supervillain has him and his daughter, so they send in the Justice League. And the new Superman happens to know the code to this gated community because the kid that he was bullying lived there and told him the code. So they go and they defeat Sunwave, was the name of the villain, and you know, of course they defeat him. And just when Batman and Wonder Woman were starting to kind of respect him, he gives up his secret identity on TV. So that kind of screws that up.
A jerk face.
Yeah, a kid is a jerk.
There's two faces and there's jerk face.
Yeah, Asian jerk face. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was okay. I think a lot of it is in the vein of Justice League 3000, but I enjoyed that book. So, you know, it's a different take on the Justice League, and you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it wasn't, like I said, the first issue wasn't bad. I just didn't like it enough to where I wanted to add it on to my growing list of Superman themed books.
Yeah,
which you have to say is the biggest measurement of success for Rebirth. And how they've turned around the Superman franchise from how it was in New 52.
Yeah.
Because it was treading water back then. But now, there are so many books in that franchise, and so many of them are good. So, way to go, DC. Way to go, Rebirth.
Good work.
Good job.
I still miss Superman's beard, though. Bring back the beard. Hashtag, bring back the beard.
Okay, Adam, what'd you read?
I read Flash.
Flash!
I like this issue better than I have the rest of the series.
This issue was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I feel like they are telegraphing who Godspeed is a bit too much, so I'm hoping that they are doing that intentionally just to twist
red herring it.
Yeah.
Well, you almost feel like it's the guy, like his partner, friend.
August.
August.
Yeah. Armstrong.
Armstrong. It's Armstrong.
Super crossover.
Yeah.
I feel like they're set to be August, but I'm expecting to twist it to make it the girl.
Mina.
That's the other. It can either be those two characters. Like.
Well, yeah. But here's at the end where he takes off his mask. What the hell? That was straight out of the TV show. Like. Stop showing off your secret identity. I met this girl two days ago.
No, I think. I wonder if he's making it a point that he's going to just bring out his secret identity. I could see
with this, if he has all these people that don't have secret identities that he is training, I could see him to, you know, kind of earn everyone's respect and be on the up and up just to be like, all right, fine, I'm Barry Allen, I'm the Flash. Not saying it's a smart move.
No, I mean, but that's just it. It's, you know, you have all those people that are going to go, you know, run off to the tabloids and all this other stuff. I know who the Flash is, especially since they know, you know, not all of them are going to keep their powers. And I thought that was really Highlander-ish, the way that's set up. You know, in the end, there can only be Highlander, though.
So
no, I do too. But you know, no one gets decapitated in this. That's kind
I
of
even
kind of
like to the Quickening. It's so freaking wacky.
Okay.
That you kind of have to love it for its bold take on the series.
I was a fan of the TV show.
TV show was fantastic.
Yeah.
Adrian Paul. Yeah, it was great. And I liked how they eventually brought them together.
Yeah.
Now that sword is at like every flea market you could possibly go to.
Connor McCloud and Duncan McCloud.
I wonder if that's on Netflix.
Highlander? I don't think so. I think one of the movies is.
Really?
But I think it's like the third movie or something like that, or the fourth movie. Not even like...
The first movie's still the best.
Yeah.
But this was good. I like how he has these two sidekick kids as well. The one was the girl that he helped calm down, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That was her. I don't know who the other kid was. I don't remember them at him. Did the artist change in this?
Yes.
Okay, I thought it did, because it didn't look... I didn't really care for the art.
I liked the art, actually, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. It was very angular.
That's how the art's been
in
this book.
Yeah.
From issue one.
Actually, I think that was your exact bitch from the last one, was that it's too angular.
And I praised it for being angular, because I thought it mixed well with the whole aspect of the speed and, you know...
Yeah.
the chaos.
Yeah. No, I don't mind the current. I kind of like the current artist that they chose.
Did you just say you didn't like it?
No, I was saying the previous one.
Oh.
No,
okay.
I was saying the previous one. But, yeah, I enjoyed this issue. And, you know, this book, I was actually, it was kind of on the block to be cut.
Really?
Yeah. Because I just, the last few issues, they weren't really getting anywhere, and I thought this one.
I'm just finding out I don't have time to read 15, 16, 17, 18
well, yeah,
books a week.
That's a lot of books, man. It's a lot of... like,
and there's a lot of stuff I'm really enjoying.
Here's the thing. I don't necessarily mind that I'm buying 15 books a week, but when I look, I'm like, DC, 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 DC. That's I'm like, man, I'm buying too many DC books every week.
Shut your mouth. Don't talk about DC.
Yeah. How many DC books do you think you buy in a month, Dave? Because for as much as we talk crap on Marvel, you're more of a Marvel guy, I would say. It seems like, at least.
Probably. I mean, only a handful of DC, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only a handful of Marvel, too. I don't buy it. I mean, I think Daredevil...
Yeah, but I feel like whenever... I feel like when you're talking about books, you talk about at least a few Marvel every time.
Yeah, I was probably more of a... I mean, I was more of a Marvel kid, yeah. So... Growing up, I mean, Avengers was the first book I read, and I loved Fantastic Four, that stuff in the 80s. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's
yeah,
the main
aside
reason.
Aside from the Hanna-Barbera stuff, I don't think you ever talk about a DC book.
No, not really.
Yeah. Are you a spy, Dave?
I really don't like comic books.
I don't know why.
Just get out.
No.
Okay, Adam, we're waiting on you.
Me? Amazing Spider-Man.
Nobody reads that.
It's a possibility. No, but, this is their before... I don't know what it's called.
Renew Your Vow.
No, the other thing.
Oh,
No More Death or something.
Yeah.
Dead No More!
Dead No More. There it is.
More Death would have been the Scarlet Witch.
NM, yeah. That's what the...
BDSM?
That's what that was the first thing I read. I'm like, what the hell are they doing with Spider-Man?
Spider-Gimp.
So in this, from the previous issue, they figure out, like, John Jameson, like, the grandfather, passes out, and they take him to the hospital and learn that he has an issue with his lungs. Yeah, a wheat cake allergy. It's causing him all sorts of issues. But no, he's having all sorts of issues. They think it might be from his traveling with Parker Industries, but then the doctor tells him. No. They tell him that it can't be that something is possibly.
Spider Gimp.
Oh.
BDSM.
Could you just go?
Wow, you had that on your iPad already. That's
no. I went to Google, typed in Spider Gimp, and it was the second image. This was the first.
Oh, no.
Don't do this.
Oh.
You're not gonna order that for me, Colin.
Oh no.
There are some things you just can't.
I will not
unsee.
Be sleeping tonight. Thank you, Josh.
Yes. French rat paper. Spider-Man costume. But they figure out something hereditary. A group comes in from some other lab somewhere, saying that they have a way of fixing this situation.
Is he like 90 years old?
Probably. Colin wouldn't care about it.
Well, no, but like, yeah. It's a genetic condition. It didn't show up till you're in your 90s, dude. I think you won the genetic lottery there. Just move
you're
on.
You're okay. Yeah.
That's just called old age.
They have a way of fixing it, and basically their way of fixing things is cloning organs. And they'd have...
Oh, Jesus.
So you get where this is going? So it
we're
going to
see Ben Reilly.
That, and we should have known this because they introduce it. You'd have to look in the book to see this. They introduce... they don't even try to introduce. They just assume that we're supposed to know the man in red is the Jackal.
Oh, okay.
Because they just call him that. So it makes sense with the dog mask, but I remember the Jackal being green.
Yeah, yeah.
But they assume you're... It's like how it's written. They assume that you already know it, that he was the Jackal. And I didn't like that. I didn't care for that at all.
Well, if you've read 700 issues of Spider-Man, then you would know that.
Yeah. But in this case, yeah. I was assuming he was somebody brand new, or somebody we didn't know who it was wearing a mask, and then we'd figure it out.
Dogface dude.
Yeah. Which would be very similar, though, to Spider-Verse, where Scuba Steve was a guy we didn't necessarily know who he was because he was wearing a mask. So I was like, okay, you don't want that because you just had that. But then turning it and making it a character and just assuming we knew it was him because you changed his look without telling anybody, it was a problem. But basically, this is what the book is becoming. It's going to be like a new clone saga written by Dan Slott. I mean, we kind of knew it was going to be kind of a clone saga. We just didn't know the Jackal was behind it. I just didn't put together, okay, this guy is this guy now. And then Jameson, J. Jonah, goes and he
wants pictures of Spider-Man.
No, he wants to save his father, so he decides to pay them to do it. But then we figure out that there might be something more to this. And Peter's whole thing recently is nobody dies. And there was a person in it, there was an explosion at his Oklahoma chemical factory. He was able to save them, but their lungs were just completely burned out that they couldn't do anything. So he's like, okay, we're not going to test this on my stepfather first. Let's try it on this guy that works for me and see if it works. And it worked for him, but there's something behind it.
It'd be a step uncle, not a stepfather.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Cause it's not, yeah. But a little twist of the story is that Octavius, who is inside the robot, finds this cloning thing very interesting.
He's going to make a new Doc Ock.
Yeah. So we kind of get where this is going.
Just so he can be with Anna Maria.
Yes. Nothing too special about this. Like, that's the whole thing. It's just, it's like they're giving away too much up front. Like, they're giving away, okay, well, yeah, obviously he's going to clone himself from the doctor after he was like, yeah, interesting, you know? And obviously this is a clone saga.
He didn't go like this, though.
Yes.
If you don't tentpole your fingers, we don't know you're being devious.
He has robot hands that only go like this, so it's kind of difficult.
Danger, Will Robbins.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad, but I haven't been that interested since Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is just not great. Spider-Island wasn't great.
You're reading it because it's Spider-Man.
Reading it because it's Spider-Man.
I'm
hoping one day it'll be good again. Because that's the main book I like, so. Action Comics? Did I read Action Comics?
Yeah,
I did. And I thought this was a big step forward for the story.
Yeah.
I thought the fight with Doomsday was starting to get a bit
drug
out.
Yeah.
But this moved things forward pretty drastically.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of these books, I feel like some of these books, their first arc is across the board, you know, have gotten to that point where it feels like it could drag out, because I guess maybe we're used to that from New 52. Some of the arcs really went on much longer than they needed to. But I think all the books that kind of felt like that have, with this last week of issues, or last round of issues, have really kicked the story forward big time, which is great.
Yeah. Detectives. Detective did the same thing. Action, you're right. The Doomsday fight was just going on for a little long. And there's nothing to explain really about what happened, I don't think, earlier on in this issue. The later on stuff was very interesting of where it's heading and introducing, especially the stuff dealing with, and they've already introduced him in this book, that the character Oz.
Mm-hmm.
He was introduced way beyond this book. That
But now seeing him more and more, I feel like
seeing that he
point.
Might have been behind some of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what reason, we don't know. I think it just adds some interest to this book, seeing where that's going to go. So, and that's something I haven't had with Superman. Superman books is just an interest. So, well, where's this going? You know, you don't have that. Now you do. So I think, and
every,
going back to what you were saying, Mission Accomplished.
Every Superman book is interesting
yeah.
in some way. Yeah.
So, but I like it. I really do. I like the main Superman book a little better, but I thought this was an interesting thing.
I was liking the main Superman book more, but
this kind of flipped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see. It's kind of like that with Detective Comics. Like, Batman is all right, but I really like Detective.
Yeah.
But they keep bouncing back and forth.
Which, I mean, Action and Detective were supposed to be their big flagship books.
Yep.
Those are their pillars. So, it's good to see them return to that status.
Yeah. So, it was good. And then the last book I read was Archer and Armstrong.
Really fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Really fun book.
I like how this is becoming exactly what he, Archer or Armstrong called it. It's a road trip.
Yes.
To find his wife. And I like how they're going to end up. And I guess Archer and Armstrong kind of has been a road trip kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
Where they run into, like, problems along the way or, you know. As Archer put it in the previous issue, where this stuff just happens to them all the time. Guys in shark suits show mm-hmm. up and fight them. And, yeah.
Their interactions and their relationship, even though they're an odd couple, feel very believable.
Yeah.
And, like, you feel, like, a genuine connection between these characters. And I kind of love that they even echo back to the very first issue of the previous run of Archer and Armstrong, where you had... Armstrong's job as the bouncer in that bar,
yep.
and he had him talking to the owner of the bar about, you know, well, they're on this road trip, and you found out that Archer's working there too as a bouncer, and
yeah, that's where they kind of yeah. went back to. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've seen that bar since the very beginning of that previous run.
Yeah, but this they run into. Well, it's after.
Oh, and real quick with the bar, seeing all the different factions that just like sit around.
All
yeah.
them, so
the people we saw them go up against in the
previous
run.
And I like how
they've
just been waiting.
Yeah.
You know, they're
like, I like these little things teased in there.
Yeah. But yeah, they end up in this town, Pennsylvania, that they run into this circus troupe that kind of looks like
Stalin's.
Armstrong. Well, it kind of looks like Armstrong, and. He assumes they're his kids, but then there's more.
Because,
to it.
Yeah, yeah, someone mentions he might have illegitimate children running around.
Yeah,
Archer does when they're in the
yeah.
restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
from all the years of his debauchery.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they're, you know, basically they're just dealing with this situation. And then, like, I like how these arcs are going to be, like, situations they're dealing with until they get to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's, I can live with that. I like this. I really do like this book. I like the previous run a lot better, but I think this stands on its own. I think that's, you know, it still kind of has the same, a little bit of the same feeling to it, but it's, I think this one's more like the Fred Van Lente stuff was more about Archer. This is more about Armstrong. And,
that's a pretty
yeah.
fair assessment.
I kind of like that.
Plus this had a Davy the Mackerel backup.
Yeah, Davy the Mackerel. Back up.
Yeah, pretty solid.
But I've really liked it. And then we learned that I guess at this West Virginia PopCon, the writer is going to be there.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be at Wizard World Pittsburgh.
Okay,
but last time I looked at the guest list, I didn't see his name on there anymore. So
that's such a weird con.
Yeah,
they're getting some heat because I guess in Chicago or something, they're having a gun dealer. On the floor, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are
what?
Not pleased with that.
Look, it's Chirac.
Wow.
You gotta be packing heat there.
Crazy.
Guns and
cars. So go ahead, Josh. I only have two more, and I know you read them, so I'll just jump in on yours.
Superwoman?
Hey, that's one of them.
Yeah.
I had a feeling. I like this book a whole lot.
Yeah.
It
the
was,
art, I thought, was fantastic.
The art was incredible.
Yeah,
the art
Phil
was
Jimenez wrote
fantastic.
And drew it, and the art was fantastic.
And
I was wondering why there wasn't a Rebirth special for this new character, and it pretty much gets explained.
Yeah, yeah. This book, if you were confused at all as to, you know, which Lois this is, how she gets her powers, how, why this character exists, it's all explained in this first issue. The issue itself is a bit wordy at times,
yes.
but unlike other books... You know, that can end up like that. I never felt like it was that dense. Like, it was wordy, but I never felt myself, like, dragging to get through the pages.
Right, because you had Lois and, who's that, Lana?
Lana Lang,
having, who were not friends,
but
and
Lois
don't really know
to,
each other.
Lois went to Lana because Lana was, like, Superman's anchor.
Right.
And it kind of helped Superman and Clark become the Superman that he became. So now that Lois has these powers, she thought that Lana's the best person to kind of help
right.
her.
Right, so there's a lot of talking between them, and then, of course, you have Lex, who's pontificating on how wonderful he is.
Yeah.
And
showing off his latest, you know, technology to
his
help
helicarrier.
Save the world. Yes, his giant helicarrier. We find out that it's the Lois Lane, the new 52 Lois Lane that has
right.
the powers, because she was near Superman whenever he came to his demise.
Right, but so does. But Lana also has powers.
Yeah,
right.
I was in
and it's almost.
That.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay, and it's also somewhat like Superman Blue, Superman Red.
Yeah,
they don't have the same powers.
Yes, yeah, so we find out there's this crisis going on Lex's carrier, and Lex, his suit was depowered, so he couldn't really do anything. And Lana's there as a journalist for a tech blog or a tech channel, and she calls in Lois. And as Lois is trying to, you know, save the day, she keeps telling Lana that Lana has to help her out. And we don't know yet that Lana has these powers.
Right. And Lana's a TV reporter who's on there and doesn't want to expose herself.
On TV.
Right. Yeah.
And as this is going on, we're seeing, like, flashbacks to, you know, Lois being kind of trained by Lana and their interactions. That's when we find out that Lana, since she was also close by, has these powers as well. And, yeah, a different skill set. Something's the same, like the strength and whatnot, but it is a different set of skills.
She's a lot more scientific, and I guess Lana is also very scientific.
Yeah, she is. The powers kind of match their personalities, but
then with a big twist ending. Let's not give that one away. That was good. That was really good. Yeah, I was very impressed, and you get to the end, and you're like, what?
Yeah, the ending definitely
turns the entire book on its head.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, so that was good. I
wasn't
expecting
really
enjoyed it at all. That. Yep. Nope. Enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, this was one I just thought, I'll check it out because I'm curious to see where you're going with
it. Seems superfluous. Why do we need yet another super character with new Superman?
It's not one that I expected to read the issue one and be interested enough to come back for issue two, but it is on my pull list now. So, there you go, Colin.
Okay,
what's going on?
Nothing.
Oh.
Adam turned to look, but he thought he saw a Pokemon.
What other one did I read that's on your list? You see, there's two.
Deathstroke.
Oh, yeah, Deathstroke. I don't have it on my pull list here, but yeah, Deathstroke, Rebirth. Was it Rebirth?
Mm-hmm. That was a Rebirth,
okay,
yes.
Yeah, Deathstroke Rebirth came out last week. Now, you and I disagree a little bit on this.
Well, I didn't like the previous Deathstroke. No, to be fair, I only read the first issue.
I didn't read it.
But where he was, like, severely injured and then, like, grew back an arm and stuff. And I'm like, since when did he have this? I don't remember him having any healing powers, really. Now, I'm not a huge Deathstroke guy, so I can't vouch completely for him. But I just thought he was just, a super soldier kind of guy with, you know, by taking out his eye, he enhanced his brain power. And he could foresee what people were going to do and... You know, super smart guy type of fighter kind of guy. And then in the Deathstroke book where all of a sudden, like, he regrew an arm and stuff, it was like, what? Or maybe his head was... He took a bullet to the head and was fine. Just seemed... Where did this come from? So I kind of went into this one a little jaded because I didn't like the previous one. It sold well and people liked it. Maybe if I stuck with it, but... So I came into this one and it was a little jumpy.
Yeah, and I think that was by design, and I actually liked it more for that.
Okay.
Because what's going on? You're getting some backstory with Deathstroke, with him and his sons. They're out camping, and you see this very messed up relationship he has with his sons.
Okay, I was gonna say I couldn't picture Deathstroke as like the doting dad fishing with his kids.
No, it was borderline abusive, I guess. It was more very strict than abusive.
Right, and like the one kid didn't like camping, so he camped out in the truck and kept the heater on, and the truck died, and dad was all pissed off.
So we're seeing these flashbacks, and in the what's going on in the current time is he is on a mission to take someone that's being protected by this, like, warlord
character. That I found very confusing to start. It made sense as it went along.
Yeah, I didn't completely understand his role there at first.
Right.
But, yeah, as it went along, it made more sense. And you're seeing this Deathstroke that's kind of... almost feels a little bit torn in what he has to do. Like, it seems like, even though he's an assassin, he seems to care a little bit, I guess. Like, even whenever you had the guys... who were like, please don't kill us. We know that since we know you're here to kill this guy, that you have to kill us. We have kids. Like, it feels like he's conflicted a little bit. And I think that's where showing those, like, flashes back to his past with his kids helped, establish that.
Right, and that's when he pulled out the money and said, okay, we have a contract now.
Yeah. So that's why I think it worked to kind of have him mixed in there instead of just having an info dump in the beginning. But no, it was really good. He was on this mission to take out Clock King, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Clock King, who's being protected by this warlord. But then they find... He finds that Clock King had this information about someone that he cared about from his past was being held there as well. And, I have no idea where it's going. But, yeah, I think Priest... And it's Christopher Priest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is telling so far a really engaging, interesting Deathstroke story, which, again, not something I thought I'd ever really care about. I just had to check it out because I heard good things about it that day.
Okay.
So...
Great cover. I thought the
cover was great.
Cover, both covers were good, but mm-hmm. the main one, the headshot cover, I thought was great.
Yeah. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, I read that.
So I think this is pretty good. Yeah. We have the Corps from Lost Army and Oblivion, who are trying to figure out where they're at in the universe and kind of get their base of operations.
Lick their wounds almost.
Yeah, get their base of operations back up and running. They decide to send one lantern out on kind of a scouting mission, and they send the one who is stir crazy and too stubborn to get himself killed.
I think it's too stubborn to get himself killed. Stubborn, yeah.
So they send him out to kind of do some recon, and then on the other side of the universe we have Hal Jordan, who is going up against some of these Yellow Lanterns who have been ordered not to engage him, to just kind of try and bait him to a certain spot, but they don't comply. And we're seeing a very, very powerful Hal Jordan mm-hmm. against them. And then when Sinestro finds out that Hal Jordan...
Well, first he didn't believe it, because he thought...
He didn't believe it. That's why he told him not to engage and to come get into this location. But then we have Sinestro come to confront Hal Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely the stronger of the Green Lantern books. Like, this, I think, has been a solid book, whereas the other one...
This feels more like a true Green Lantern book.
It does. Yeah. It does. We'll see where the other one goes with today's issue, but...
I like the interaction with... And I always like the interaction with Sinestro and his daughter.
Yeah.
But... You know, how he used her because as a doctor, she knew she could get people to trust the Yellow Lanterns. And then as that happened, they could then become the new...
She was the one to essentially do the PR for the Yellow Lanterns. And then once that was done, he could step in and be a scumbag.
Yeah, well, he can be Sinestro. Yeah. But that's... that interaction was really good because, it was... It's a really weird father-daughter relationship, mm-hmm. but it's a believable, estranged father-daughter relationship. Like you could see, not exactly, but that type of conversation taking place is well done.
The only thing that still bugs me about this is if all these other lanterns appeared in some remote part of the galaxy, then how in the hell did Simon Baz end up...
Make his way back to Earth.
And where's Arisia at? Is she with all of them? Because she was one of the first ones to have to go through that rift.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, that's all.
But read and find now.
Yep. Tune in next week for another...
2 weeks.
No, it came out last week. So now next week. Yeah. No, tune in to us. Tune in to the...
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Come here and buy the book from Colin next week. What's that?
So read the book, don't listen to us.
Yeah, someone a bunch of schmucks.
Yeah, pretty much. They give a recorder to anybody.
Yeah. And the last one I mentioned is Vision number 10. No, I don't think any of you guys are reading.
No, I'm waiting for the trade. Or the two trades on it.
Buy the trade. Yeah. When it comes out, or two trades, or omnibus, whatever. But this is such a fantastic freaking book. This issue, man, like, they really make you care about a bunch of robots, especially, like, robots that one of them you knew. Well, you're not reading it. I'm saying through reading it.
They're robots. I'm not going to care anyway.
Oh, yeah.
There's one robot I really cared about. He's gone now.
Who?
Tweaky.
Thanks, Phil. Oh, okay.
Beady, beady, beady.
But this issue is exploring the fallout of...
He's been dead for years.
He's been dead for a while.
This is exploring the fallout of the death of Vision's son, Vin. And it really, makes you feel for Vision and his family by the time it's
That's what it seems like with. When you've talked about it before. That I think that's why I'm so interested in this, because like, it seems like they're focusing on like characters.
These are characters. These are characters that were created, you know, 10 issues ago.
Yeah.
That suddenly, like, you know, when this tragedy happens, you really feel for them. It's like I wasn't a strong Vision fan before. We didn't know Vision's family before this. So it's kind of incredible that Tom King's telling this story that feels this impactful.
I don't think they've told a Vision story for a long time that's actually held people's interest like this one. Because your main thing with Vision was his relationship with Ultron. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty well it, if I can remember, besides his...
And to have this, like, his son is killed by his brother, mm-hmm. essentially. Victor Mancha?
That's not Wonder Man's brother, the one... Because he was killed in that, wasn't
Grim it? Reaper, I think.
Grim Reaper was killed
Victor
in this,
Mancha was in The Runaways, too.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I remember that character. Okay, yeah.
But so, Vision and his family are under house arrest until the Avengers can get things sorted out. Victor Mancha's in, you know, being held in some prison. And in the very beginning, you have Vision talking to his wife, and... Like, I love how Tom King writes them. Like, the quirks he gives them as he writes their dialogue, and also just the tone he conveys, like, very, very robotic. Like, it's robotic but with emotion, if that makes sense. Like, you can tell there's a lot of logic behind it, but there's some sort of emotions, like, bursting to come out, almost like, you know, Spock in a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have Vision talking to his wife, saying that he has run through every scenario. He has examined, you know, everything with, you know, through the lens of all the different religions and cultures that are out there. And under no, you know, none of these different scenarios he's run through, can he see how what is going on right now is just. That his son is killed, Victor is alive, and they are under house arrest. And you just see this building up, and his wife is kind of like... experiencing more and more quirks as she's talking. She's like repeating herself more and more. Like she's definitely troubled. The daughter, he finds the daughter praying by her bed, and he asks if he can join her. And you have Vision saying, and his daughter saying, they hope that there's some sort of God, that when it's all over and your soul is taken, that there's someone there to, you know, reaffirm your deeds or tell you, you know, that you did good. But then at the very end, as he finally has had enough, like he plays this recording he has of his son reciting this poetry, and he was too busy to listen because he was on a call with the Avengers, and he finally has been fed up and he has had enough. He puts on this, you know, normal like Vision outfit, and he decides he's gonna, you know, bust out of the house and get vengeance, make things right, essentially. And he's saying that he believes there is a God that will, like, you know, shepherd all these souls, but he's a robot and he has no soul, so there's no God, you know, for him or his family, essentially. And he uses this vibranium Zippo lighter that Captain America gave him from the 40s to essentially short circuit the perimeter around the house that was supposed to prevent them from getting out, and decides he's going to the prison where Mancha is being held at. And at the very end, you see this page with Tony Stark and Thor and Nova. And Nova's alerting Tony that Vision found a way to escape, and he's heading for the prison. And Tony's saying to call everyone in, and they're heading out in 5. So we're going to see something come to a serious head between the Avengers and Vision.
They're going to do a switcheroo and kind of help him in his situation?
No, I think Tom King is setting up a very... grim finale for this this book. I don't feel like this book is positioned in any way where he's going to do a switcheroo and make it
super happy ending.
Happy amicable ending. I think this is going to continue being a very emotional and impactful and kind of dour book, just like it has been up to this point. It's fantastic for it. It's so unique.
One thing I've always liked about Vision is they always kind of. They kind of set you on that. He's on that line of almost human. Like, he kind of developed this, like, human personality a little bit, but he also knows he's a robot.
Yeah.
Like, and I always like that about him as a character anyways. Like, yeah. Because they don't do that too much with, like, a lot of the robotic characters.
Mm-hmm.
Even with DC, with Red Tornado, but Red Tornado's not as used as Vision either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always, you know, that character is really interesting.
He was Mr. Data before Mr. Data.
Yeah, go stick with the Star Trek.
Star Trek
comparisons.
Yeah.
But no, it's great. I would,
yeah.
Anyone who has even the slightest interest in this book, get the trades when it comes out. Get, you know, if it's a hardcover with all 12 issues, get it. It's worth your time. It's worth your money. I'll probably buy it as a, if they have a full collection, I'll probably buy
That's
it.
That's why I
again.
Was kind of waiting. To see, because I wanted to read it all at once. I know they brought out the one trade, but I was waiting for the whole thing. I want to read it all at once.
Tom King and company are doing a fantastic job with this book. It's a shame that more people didn't jump on.
Tom King, I think, does a fantastic job with having a good amount of characters in it, but he gives them all a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not a lot of people can do that. Like, I always criticize Dan Slott with that he brings all these characters, but sometimes it's just like, well,
he gives them all a purpose, and he gives them all their own voice. Like, you could have very easily had Vision, his wife, and his two kids have the exact same personality.
Yeah.
But they don't. Like, Vision has been the much, much more logical one.
Yeah.
The daughter has been much more, like, spiritual and seemed to be more affected by things around her. The wife there seemed like there's just something kind of off the entire time. And then his son seemed like he was more like the optimistic one, which makes it even more tragic that his son is the one that, you know, gets killed by his uncle, essentially. But it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's the dog, too. The dog initially at one point sets off the alarm trying to, like, go to the door, and Vision has to have this conversation with Tony Stark about the dog setting off the alarm and how he has to, you know, Tony's telling Vision to take a look at the dog and see if he can fix whatever's wrong, because the dog's not supposed to be trying to get out of the house. And
yeah.
It just, throughout this entire issue, you just feel it building up to the point where he is clenched fist, busting out of the house and going to get vengeance.
Yeah. I always like how Tony Stark is always like the jerk and everything, too. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. You do that.
I will.
All right, that's it for me.
That's it? Okay, I want to revisit a question from Zach, which I do apologize for not talking about last week.
Yeah, we're sorry.
He gave me a question, which I really thought was kind of just more directed at me, and so I answered him directly, and then he mentioned that he was sad that he didn't hear his question on the podcast. So
just paraphrase your answer for the podcast.
I will. So basically, he asked if I read the new Tilting at Windmills column from Brian Hibbs, who has comics experience out in San Francisco, and just to give you a little background, he used to do a column in a magazine that was called Comics and Game Retailer, which was still going on when I first opened, but has since shut down. I think it was from the Comic Buyer's Guide publication, and it was basically just sent out to comic and game stores. And it was a lot of some inside information, some how-to, you know, how to develop a strong this section, how to do this. Different articles from different people from different parts of the industry. It was really neat. It was great, especially when I was first opening. It was, you know, a godsend having this. But it's since ceased publication. But he had a column in there for years. And it was funny, one thing I mentioned to Zach is I had gotten that book. IDW collected all the columns in a book. And I remember reading that with my mom in the hospice, and I opened up about a year after she passed away. So, you know, I'd been well on my way, you know, thinking about this a long time earlier, mm-hmm. and it was basically, I was reading his books to find out what I didn't know, and that was the big thing, knowing that here's something, it's a bunch of articles directly towards retailers, basically on how to help you do your business better type of thing. So, and I thought it was fun. It went through the bankruptcy. It went through all that stuff. So that was interesting history lesson and stuff. So I trust Brian Hibbs as far as I know he's been doing this a long time. I know he definitely has the retailers at heart. I've met him. I've told him that. He poo-pooed it, said, don't listen to me. What do I know? But so, and he used to have, his column was there, and then went online at Newsarama, And I remember when I was at Newsarama before, again, before I opened, I went and printed all of his things off of there at work and then forgot them on the printer and left.
And then you got fired.
And left, and at 3 in the morning, I went left and went right back and had to get in let in by the late guy, basically explaining, oh, I forgot something on the desk, blah, blah. But and got him off because that would have been, gosh, who has, 800 pages printed here on the printer?
You're fired.
And then he went to, then he went from Newsarama when Newsarama, he was at Newsarama, I think, when Kevin Smith was involved with it. And then when that got sold, he went over to Comic Book Resources. And then now the Comic Book Resources has left. He's now over at The Beat. And it looks like another guy has gone there. It's like the comic, CBR is getting rid of all of its columns. It's like they don't want to pay people and they're just going to run press releases. Woo. But so now I found him over, I didn't even know where he was until Zach forwarded this to me and said, hey, did you read this article? And it was Brian Hibbs. Sadly, I don't remember exactly what he was talking about, because I read it. This was at the beginning of the month. Wow, a whole week and a half ago. Great memory. But he said he wanted to know, what my thoughts are on just a couple parts of it. And the one I'm just, these are in quotes. I know that I'm really growing concerned about the constant renumbering of long-running books. Certainly in both of my stores, the 2015 all new, all different renumbering ended up with individual title sales past issue one as being well under what they were before the relaunch. And then also, and when we look at the new books announced in the Marvel Now previews, far too many of them are C and D list characters. I think I have a pretty good idea of what the potential audience is for a non-A-list driven comic starring Slapstick or Fool Killer or Solo or Prowler. Those are single-digit audiences at the local level. They aren't masses of folks pining to line up to spend $4 on Bullseye or Kingpin-led comics. And when we look at the line expansions for books that are doing solidly, like 2 Doctor Strange comics or 2 Thor comics, my retailer instincts say that those books are almost certainly like more likely to hurt the sales of the existing title through cannibalization than expand the audience by even one reader. And then Zach asked, do I agree with the paragraphs, particularly the bolded part, which was that last little bit? Do you agree with the whole article? What parts do you not agree with? So I gave him my basic summation saying Brian's a really smart guy. I said, so yeah, I don't see anything in the article to disagree with. I just posted on it adding a concern that he didn't mention that they may be putting the big number ones on the covers of books that aren't number ones just to cause confusion, which we then, Bleeding Cool did report that they are going to do that again. Which
I thought we talked about that and kind of poo-pooed that last week.
Yeah. So we talked about that, and then here's what I said to him. I said, Deadpool always starts great, and then they kill it. I was selling 50 copies, but then it goes weekly. Then they make $10 issues twice, with a third one coming. Then they add a miniseries, but not just one, back to back to back, and then multiple minis at the same time. Then they add a second ongoing, and now 2 spinoff titles, Slapstick and Solo, plus more minis coming. All of the Deadpool fans don't pick them all up. But I have to figure out how to order them non-returnably. We put in our final orders 3 weeks out. When they suddenly ship books every week, which we got Deadpool for a little while, there was a Deadpool issue every week for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you had one, and then you had the special, and then you had the point. Right, well, yeah.
I
should. I said, and then all of a sudden I'm stuck as people leave, and the problem when they're shipping so fast, all of a sudden if I drop five copies this issue, 5 copies next issue, well, I'm ordering so far out that all of a sudden on issue
you're
number 3, I'm 10 over, and that's $40. I can't absorb that easily. So it makes me then back off a little quicker, and then I run out. And then so when I see a second Doctor Strange or Thor, it's not good. With Thor, I can almost guarantee it will cannibalize some of the Mighty Thor fans because they're Thor fans, just not of that Thor. So all of a sudden you bring back Guy Thor, people are going to leave Mighty back. Oh, finally, my Thor's back. I'll read this. They were reading Mighty Thor just because that was the only Thor they had. They might not have been necessarily enjoying it, like the like the guy who dropped it because of the cancer issue. And then I said, oh, and books like Solo, Slapstick, Kingpin, and Bullseye, I say one may be the next Moon Knight or Vision, critically acclaimed with poor sales, but they really seem like trademark claims. Now, they have good writers, so you hope it's a case of, I have a really good idea for the story for this character situation, but I have to gamble with my money, and how many copies of Solo am I really good, think I can sell?
Kingpin is a book, though, that I can... That's interesting. I could see where they could take that and be okay with it, but, yeah, Fool Killer, Slapstick, Solo... That's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry.
So, and I said, and it, even if any of these are really, really good, they're going to get lost in the shuffle of everything that's going in October with, you know, especially with now Civil War being late, but also with...
Mosaic and...
Yeah, Mosaic and all these other books that I just don't know, you know, a new Inhuman book, things like that. And then I'm talking about, you know, Marvel's already offering big discounts and a ridiculous amount of variants to get stores to hit these big numbers. Champions based on what they are, one in a thousand variants. It's like they're doing everything can to spike sales, but I don't see them doing everything they can to spike interest in these books. A little bit about them manipulating numbers. And I said, basically, I closed with, I learned long ago not to trust the hype. I got burned most recently on Civil War III. I upped my orders by 50% based on the major death! Exclamation point. Then they added the midnight release Quesada variant, so I ordered more of that. And then, sadly, no one cared. So in reality, it's up to the stores to order based what they think they can sell and not get caught up in the hype. But I think you're going to see numbers reflecting some of that. If you can order, especially, you know, it's funny, those deep discounts and things and the variants really help the smaller stores, that have the lower order numbers. I don't want to say like Dennis, but like Dennis, when you're looking at his numbers, where if you have to go from 10 to 20 and you can get those extra 10 are free, that's an easy thing to do. That's an easy jump to make. And you get enough stores doing that. But where I'm having to go from 25 to 50, well, gosh, that's a little bit of a bigger jump. So I'm just concerned that they're throwing a lot of stuff out there. There's not a lot of planning. Now it clearly seems like they don't know what's going on. They don't even know how Civil War is ending at this point because Bendis hasn't written it, yet supposedly all these books are coming out. So it gives me less and less confidence to say, I'll take a flyer on this because I think it's going to be successful. You also have stuff where how many of these are miniseries that aren't labeled miniseries? Books like, Black Knight and Scarlet Witch that, you know, didn't make it very far. They didn't find an audience, but I bet there's a ton of number ones out there because they made it so easy. They're even doing another round of the hip-hop variants. It's like they're doing all they can to sell books other than tell us that they're writing really great books.
Well, No, and I think that's it. Maybe, you know, as a consumer, I'm looking at it a little bit differently. They're finding ways to sell an issue, but not to sell the book.
And I think it's almost an opposite of DC, not to, you know, do my standard slam Marvel hype DC, but I think DC kind of undersold almost their whole line, and I think it's overperformed. Like you guys talking about loving detective and loving action, I don't remember them doing much to really say, oh, you're going to love these books because, or even Green Arrow was just kind of, oh, it's the same writer, here you go.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of hype where they've had a lot of success sales-wise from people really liking the books. I don't know, I guess I just like to see more, hey, what's going on in these books? Why should I buy this book? Why should you buy this book? And honestly, I don't even remember what the last... to be fair, I did not check the press releases today, but I don't remember what Marvel's hyping lately, but I'm not seeing much of it. And then when you look on their website, everything's Doctor Strange, but social media that you see. It's a lot of mostly film, mostly TV. I'm seeing a lot of Ghost Rider stuff. It's like you already came out with this book. It didn't find an audience. Just because it's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't see it magically finding an audience then. Even if they bring Kyle MacLachlan back as somehow involved.
Mr. High. Well, that's the question. Are they going to come out with another Ghost Rider book?
Yeah, they've already announced it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, with the same writer and artist, I believe. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're hyping that. Been there, done that, and it wasn't that long ago. You know, it's not like it sat long enough. Like, now you can bring back a Fantastic Four book. I think that sat long enough type of thing.
I don't. I mean, it hasn't even been a year.
It will be, because it ended before Secret Wars, so it's definitely been a year.
I was Secret Wars because they were all in Secret Wars.
Right, but I'm just saying for its own title. So, who knows? But yeah, I just get away from the hype and just put out good books. It's working for a lot of companies. But yeah, sometimes the hype overtakes the promotion, and then books get lost, like A Vision. Which, to be fair, I don't know how they could have pitched that better. Because I don't think it was really definable. I think he had the same problem with Omega Men, where I remember you saying you really liked it at the end, but it didn't catch at the beginning.
It's a book where the pitch sounds like a gimmick, even though the book itself isn't. Like the Vision, the premise for Vision sounds very gimmicky. Like, oh, you're going to take a robot and give him a family and put him in suburbia, whatever.
And I remember my problem specifically with that was in that Avengers Zero where he wished Wanda well and said he was foregoing his humanity.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden to say, oh, and we're doing a book where Vision has a family. And it's like, wait, I get what they did, where he did give away his humanity and accepted his robotity or whatever you want to call it, but just the
robotity.
Well, you know, but those
Machanity.
Two, yeah, those two just didn't quite jive. It didn't make sense. It was hard to say. Well, wait, you just did this. How's this going to work?
Same thing with Prez. I mean, Prez. The premise seemed very gimmicky,
and I think nobody tried it because of that. Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's fun. I really want to read Flintstones now because it looks like he's found his voice. And he's just found another way to tell.
It kind of makes sense.
What he
did
wants
he
to.
Write the second issue? Because I heard something that he didn't write it.
Oh, so that I don't know.
Have to look into that.
One of the reviews I read from somewhere else said mentioned a different writer.
I mean, it seemed very much like
his. I thought it was him
reading
know.
It.
I mean,
yeah, I'll have to look into that.
Was it a different artist? Maybe.
Just wait and take a look.
Okay. Well, any. Anything else on?
No.
Ooh, Venom.
So what's coming out next week?
Hang on one sec.
You got to get your choo-choo Nesby?
I got it. No, it's a Venom off.
Sorry, guy. That was like 30 minutes ago.
I was talking.
Yeah, I know.
You guys told me to answer his question. So I did. Okay, so next week we have, hey, believe it or not, Action Comics. Archie, Dave?
Yeah. Archie book that's on time.
Yeah, it's a miracle. Batgirl number 2. We got Blue Beetle Rebirth number 1. I think this is going to be one of the last ones. I think the next one we have
And Batman Beyond.
I think those are the last couple to be coming. Hang on one sec.
Super Sons, if that ever shows up.
Oops.
Did it go now, they say?
Kind of. Oh, these are Ultra Balls I'm throwing at this thing. There we go. Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 4. This is number 4 is already starting to tie into
Civil War,
which it's like you didn't even finish your story arc, and now it's tying into Civil War.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, number 8. Well, but I think if you're reading this book for what it is, you might, you know, and all of a sudden it's tying into Civil War. You're not reading Civil War. This book brought in a lot of casual readers, a lot of readers just because of the hype behind it and stuff. So that's my only concern with that.
You should just change your name to Meh.
Meh. Yeah, there you go. Captain Marvel is Civil War. Then we get Civil War 2, Ulysses number 1, which is the digital first story behind Ulysses, who's the main catalyst for Civil War 2. He's the one who sees the visions that's causing all the friction. Yeah. Deadpool. 17, another Civil War crossover. Deathstroke number 1. About time. How many balls do you take on?
One of those.
Okay. Detective Comics 939. My favorite thing is when my son tells me he has no balls.
Now you have to explain that.
Well, no, because he ran out of Pokeballs to catch stuff.
There we go.
Remember that the people listening can't
see what you're doing.
I know. Drax number 10. Now, to be fair, the only reason I highlighted this, if you told me there was going to be a Drax number 10, I would have called you a liar.
Punk.
Duck Avenger number 0. That's just for Josh. Faith number 2. Flash number 5. Generation Zero number 1, that's which exciting. I believe Josh had 2 double thumbs up for.
Can you believe you just saw
I'm going to... Well, okay, double thumbs
4
up.
4 thumbs.
You're a koala. Godzilla Rage Across Time. This is kind of fun.
It works, I don't think.
Godzilla going through time. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, which you just talked up. Harley's Little Black Book number 4. Hellblazer number 1. I really like the rebirth. I'm looking forward to this one. Kingsway West number 1. This is a Greg Pak book. He's really been hyping this. He actually was hyping it to me at San Diego last year. It does say resolicited, so it got late.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah. Well, it was fun because Matt Thomas, who I keep recruiting to come to the pet, I got him a pass to get him into the the con, and so we decided to walk down to the artist part so I could, you know, show him some people. And walked up. I said, "Oh, and this is Greg Pak." And, you know, I said, "Greg, I got your email about the thing. You know, absolutely happy to help." You know, I responded back. He's like, "Oh, great, here. Here are some signed posters." And then, you know, I introduced Matt. And Matt's like, "Wait, you wrote Planet Hulk?" He's like, "Yeah." And just Matt was just like starstruck. It was a very cool moment for me. You know, here I am chatting. "Oh, yeah, I got your email. Blah, blah, blah." So it was one of those.
He's like, "An other comic?"
And then, well, it was cool. And then, because then we went to another thing, and Mike Mignola was at a table. And I had talked to him. He was at one of the Comics Pro meetings down in Atlanta. Mm. And so I talked to him, and I talked to him about that. And Matt, "Oh, Matt, and you, Hellboy." So, you know, so it was just very enjoyable. You know, here I am just, you know, chatting up the creators, and he's just,
he's a little. Like, the comic ambassador.
It was fun. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, that's, I'm so looking forward to. At the end of the month is
Sub GP.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like.
But at the end of the month we have.
We don't have that relationship, Colin.
We're
not at that level.
Well, but I'm so excited because, well, not excited. The Diamond Retailer Summit is the end of the month, and hopefully Dan Degnan of Southside Comics will be coming. He's signed up to come to it, but he has a baby due, so you never know. But I hope he comes because I want to be able to introduce him to all the. The retailer representative.
He's not drawing a Marvel book, is he?
He is not. He is not. Okay.
Can't plan these things.
No.
I thought somebody was going to ask you the same thing about the baby from the beginning, where they were just like, "Well, he's not having the baby."
Right. Well, right. No, he's not having the baby.
I thought about that, but I'm like, I already did that once.
But just to be able to introduce him to the Valiant guys, introduce him to Stuart from DC and all these things. What?
10 million hours. It's like,
okay.
It says 2 days.
It's the marathon. It's the marathon stuff.
Wow.
But I'm just excited to be able to introduce him to all these people. It'll feel really good. Oh, and yeah, here's himself from da-da. And that's the guy from Marvel. Yeah.
I didn't realize we're at 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Lake of Fire number one. This is from Image. Or no. Yeah, that's from Image.
Burn Lake of Fire.
Another one that shocked me. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 10. Ooh, again, I would have lost a bet on that one. New Avengers number 15 is a Civil War crossover. Rye 16 is a 4001 book.
Yay.
ROM number 2. Instant sellout of ROM number 1, which honestly blew me away. So I have number 2 coming. Grab them quick. Six Pack and Dog Walter, Hard Traveling Heroes. That's the Garth Ennis one. They're from. What was it? It was Section 8 that was out before.
Oh, yeah, eight,
didn't yeah. I didn't order a ton. Snot Girl number 2. I know Pat's excited about that one.
Yay.
It's not my kind of book.
It's not your kind of book. We got Star Wars 22, and we also have the Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation number 3, which has now been extended to a 6 issue from a 4.
You so. Name me a whole lot of stuff I don't want to read.
Been a 1 issue.
Okay, Titans number 2. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is well into double digits, not 11. Uncanny Inhumans Annual. Okay, because you demanded it. Another one I would have lost a bet. Really Venom Space Knight 11, and it's a Civil War tie-in. Wow. So he's come from space to get involved in Civil War.
Yeah.
Wacky Raceland number 3. Weird Detective number 3. You're going to be reading that.
I am not.
Oh, you're not? You didn't like number 2?
It's a miniseries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the trade.
Oh, okay.
Sure I bought issue 1.
Sure you are.
Uh-huh. I think it'll be a good collection.
Okay. Wonder Woman number 5. This is the odd, so it's the current story.
Lies.
And then, just for Dave, I highlighted this one. X-Files number 5. Because I know Dave's reading that, and Chris is reading that, and Chuck is reading it, and...
What book?
Brian is reading it. X-Files. Actually, I saw a good bit of them. I'm ordering 14 copies, so that's pretty good for... Something like that. You know, not, it's a bad book, just it's a niche book.
It's pretty good for crap.
No. No,
crap
no. I did not, no, but it's not like Batman or Spider-Man, things like that. Okay. So.
We're just messing with this.
Yeah, ball. You're just messing because you know, we've been talking for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And
you're,
P1.
You're
see?
Gabby.
It would have been one of your P stories.
Yeah.
But you finished telling.
That's true, yeah. So, you can always find me here at the store or on the website, PittsburghComics.com, Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, and Instagram at PGH Comics. It's funny. I posted some cover, some books that I was pricing, mm-hmm. and I get way more response on Instagram than anything else. It's great. I'm going to start using the Instagram a lot more.
Because doesn't Facebook post your Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram posts to Facebook and Twitter.
Are you getting
but
them
I,
from Facebook?
No, I get them on Instagram.
But I think people click on the picture on Facebook and it takes them to Instagram.
Oh, okay. They, but they have then have Instagram accounts.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I get a ton of notices.
I don't understand technology.
Neither do I. Yeah, so I'm going to have to work harder on that. So, we will talk to you next week, hopefully for a little less. I don't know quite why this went on so long.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that did take a while. Valiant books are double points, although, well, because I had the sale this last weekend because of the Steel City Con. So I will get it up there.
I have
it posted
to your website.
Yep. I appreciate that, Josh.
At the end of the month.
End of the month on the 3rd. I got my keys today, or the keys came in Monday. Monday the keys came in, I think, or Tuesday. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
It
who cares?
Yeah.
But I got the key to the
lockbox.
It's not a lockbox. Time capsule.
It's a lockbox.
So I know, but
it's a time.
It has
capsule.
A special name. So
all time capsules are lockboxes. Not all lockboxes are time capsules.
It's kind of an opposite time capsule. It comes from the future. Usually, time capsules are buried open.
Sure enough,
it's just time. It doesn't say past capsule.
That's true. Ooh. He's right.
Burn.
No, no. I'm
well, maybe we can freeze you, and then you can see Tweaky, and then open the
gas station's closed. Crap. Okay. I'll get home and back, right?
Home.
Yeah, sure. Always happens when Sandy takes my car, and then she always gives it back to me with no gas. Close at 11. I don't think I'm not going to make it there in 2 minutes.
That's podcast.
Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.